Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to National Liberty Alliance on Blog Talk Radio. I'm not sure if Gerard is here yet. Gerard, are you here yet? Anyway, I guess we got a lot of things to look at. I'm still kind of under the weather, so I'm still got this cough. I haven't been able to shake, but do the best I can to get through the evening. Quite a few things to talk about. I guess first we'll talk about where we are up here in New York. I'm not sure whether Hagan is on the line yet, but he's got some more information to share about Florida. But we'll look at New York. New York, we did make some contact. I'm not sure what kind of an update we gave last week. We are in the middle of writing a mandamus. We pretty much have it done, but I haven't had it, you know, we haven't really perfected the paper yet. And we figure it's over the holidays, so we're not really going to push too hard on it. We'd like to try to get it out tomorrow or maybe Thursday. And get it out to the judge. I'm going to put the judge on notice up there in Greene County. And also the clerk, the court clerk up there, she also will be putting on notice under as a mandamus from the grand jury. And we'll see where that goes. We're going to give them 5 days, and then at that point we're going to go down and talk to the sheriff and see where we go if they don't... one of those people don't break and move forward with what we have to move forward with the indictment on the other four judges here in New York. I guess a lot of people know that we have our website up, but we do have our problems with it. So, you know, we've got a lot of things to work out. But it's Monday night. It seems like every Monday night, no matter where we go and what we do, we have some problems. So why shouldn't tonight be any different? But anyway, I do see some people are on the chat here in our chat room now, and I see people are also in the chat room on Blog Talk Radio, and we do have some callers in. So we'll go forward. Let's see. I guess maybe a couple of things we'll just look at real quick is on a new website. We do have that established. Those people that are in the chat room on the website, if you're going to want to open any of these pages up, you might want to right-click the tab, if you want to follow along, and open it up in a new window so you don't lose the chat, you don't lose the volume, you know, the audio behind you. But anyway, on the new website, just to go through this real quickly, on our welcome page, we're working on a grand jury phone by state, of course. We started to construct it. There's no phone numbers in there yet. That'll be the job up to the state coordinators. We'll show them how to get in here and post the numbers as they receive them from the constituted counties throughout their particular state. And so it'll be up to them to maintain that list of numbers. So you see, that's one of the first things on the welcome page. Just for everyone who doesn't know, on the service side page, we do have some phone service that we offer. It's a pretty good phone service. I know we talked about this in the past. It's a service that I've been using for my business for quite some time, and I just turned it over recently for this purpose, for the grand jury. You know, I got a nice recording on it. I'm trying to remember. I think it was, Spooner's book on there, first chapter, you know, just the introduction to the book. That's something for people to listen to when they call in, as the phone service tries to follow and find me. It's a pretty good phone service. What's really good about it is that you've got the ability to load it up with different phone numbers and have different phone numbers receive the phone calls from whatever, you know, they call in at. It'll be forwarded over to someone's cell or desk phone or whatever it is that they want. It's pretty sophisticated, and it's pretty inexpensive, I think. I think it's a good deal. Again, I've been using it for years, and I know whenever I was out of the office, it really was horrible to come home at the end of the day. And if I wasn't in the office all day, you know, you get all these phone calls you got to replace, you know, you got to return. And it's nice to be able to just deal with those phone calls throughout the day. So it's a good service. It's very sophisticated and a lot of bells and whistles. And everybody who purchases this particular program, you know, we get a few cents every month from your service as a retailer or a reseller, shall I say. So it's helpful for us here at National Liberty Alliance to help pay the bills for this website and, you know, to pay the overhead. And also it's good for you as a good service. But anyway, back to the welcome page or drop-down box. We have our mission statement, national and state forums. If you click on the National and State Forums page, you get to go to any of your states, whatever state you're in, you can click on that, and you can read, and if you're logged in, you'll be able to participate. But people will only be able to participate in their own state. You'll be able to read other people's forums in other states, but only the state that you're in are you able to post. And then at the bottom of that, we have our national forum. The next page is link there is judicial. We'll just kind of fly through some of this stuff. We got American history, Constitution class. We have law libraries here. We have Bible studies. We have Supreme Court cases. We have RSS feeds to the Supreme Court decisions. And next is the political tab. We've got a lot of information up there. We've got on the committee man, how to petition. We also have a White House press office, so we have RSS feeds from there also, and a White House blogger. And we also have live feeds from U.S. Congress. On the documents page, we have a lot of documents on the document page itself. We have biographies, books, Robert's Rules of Order, common law documents, which would be, of course, all our founding documents, state election laws, and state constitutions. Now, all of the state coordinators should be digging up their state constitutions in PDF and emailing them to me. And the same thing with their state election laws. If they can find them online, download the PDF, or send me a link to where the PDF is at. I mean, you can either email it to me or just email me the link, and then I'll download the PDF and we'll post it up. We do have a few state constitutions up there already, and we have a state election law, well, just New York's election law at this point. But I know on the state constitution, of course, we have New York, but we have Arizona, we have Florida, we have New Jersey, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Utah. So all the other states we're going to need, so it's going to be up to the state coordinators to get that information to me. The next page is issues page. Taking a few seconds for my site to open up that page. But on that page, on that tab, we have quite a bit of information. We have Continental Congress 2009. I don't know if anybody's ever followed along with that, but there's got to be 80 hours of video up there on this. We got a lot of Ed Griffin's work. He's done a real good job documenting the problems within our country over the past 50 years and more. Anyway, we've got a lot of different subject matters here. We've got something on the county sheriff, health issues, poison, and we also have America, Freedom to Fascism. If anybody hadn't seen that video, it's a real good video. It's about 2 hours and 20 minutes. On our contacts, we have the county organizers. I think we're all set up on that page. Some of these pages, we may still be working on a few things or a few bugs, shall I say, really, because I think all the work has pretty much been done. But there's a few bugs here or there. And on the state page, contacts. Yeah, state coordinators under contacts. That's something I've got to work on. I don't think that that's up to date. But we'll get that up to date hopefully this week. I've got most of the information up here. And I'm going to have to meet with the state coordinators to go through the process of some of the, how some of these things work. But they should be able to get up here and, you know, if they want to choose one or two coordinators for the state, they'll be able to add some people in. And they'll also be able to adjust the numbers of how many constituted juries they have in the state. So that'll be up to them to keep tabs and keep that up and going. The next is news. We've got quite a few feeds. If you click on news itself, we have RSS feeds coming in through the Drudge Report. And we've got, of course, our own breaking news. I update that whenever anything is new. I got some papers coming in from Florida that I got to get up there, some things going on. And I also have some paperwork we'll be filing, like I said, this week with the mandamus, and we'll get that up there this week. So there'll be some breaking news this week, and then we'll be following up on the details of that next Monday. We have an Alex Jones RSS feed, Glenn Beck, Ron Paul. We also put up there The Daily Show and The Colbert Report. Actually, we can glean quite a bit off of those programs, of course, and get a little chuckle anyway. Then, of course, there's the services that we offer here. And again, any services that we offer, really by purchasing the services, we're trying to put only appropriate things up there, things that, you know, people really need. And hopefully they'll buy it through our website. And those services, of course, you get a few cents on every time you do something on any of the services. Then we have the state pages. The state pages are set up by states, obviously. You click on your state. You'll see that there's a message board there, there's a blog, and there's Find Law for Your State. Now, for the state coordinators, there'll be an additional tab called Jurist, and they'll be able to see all the jurists within their state. Also, they should be able to, I don't know if it's set up yet, but it will be set up if it's not, they'll be able to create a full list of all the jurists within their state in an Excel sheet for passing on to coordinators, organizers within other counties. Let's see what else we have here. Now, the last tab is the jurist tab. Now, if you're not logged in, that tab is not there. That tab is only available to people who are logged in. And so if you read the first page here, I would suggest for everybody to read the front page, the welcome page, and then come through and read the jurist page. And the jurist page really is a step-by-step plan on how to go through this site, particularly for those who need to, you know, understand the basics, and then an extended plan for those who want to really educate themselves. And, of course, anybody who is planning to be one of the four administrators within your county, you need to really bone up on the program here. You need to understand as much as possible about common law, American history, and history of the trial, you know, of the grand jury and trial juries. So anyway, a lot of information here. There's Q&A. We have 5,000-year leap. I had read that book, and I was just recently listening to some of the tapes, and some really good stuff, and they talk a lot about the jury in there. I was kind of surprised. A lot of stuff, and of course we have our state plan and our national plan. Now, the national plan is not up there right now. We're not going to post that. We did post that a while back. Some have seen that plan, but we decided to keep that plan off the site until we get to a point where a lot of the states have become pretty much, constituted. So that's a quick rundown and look at the website. I suggest that everybody should go through these pages, find some time, go through each page one at a time just to read through the page. I mean, looking at the contents on the page, there's lots of audio, lots of video, lots of reading materials, books, documents. I mean, all of that's going to take, you know, a long time to go through all that stuff. But you know, you should be able to get through all these pages reasonably quick to read through it, to get familiar and get an idea on how this site is put together. But again, you know, it's put together for the purpose of re-educating the people. I mean, these are the things that we've never been taught, and it's time now that we bone up on this if we're going to take America back. As Jefferson said, if the people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. So, anyway, let me move on here. Gerard, have you gotten onto the call yet? Are you around? I don't know if he's in the call yet. But anyway, tonight I want to quickly look at We the People versus the 14th Amendment. I know we talked a little bit about this in the past, but we have a paper up there. It's only about 3 pages, and I'm going to look at maybe 1 or 2 pages, read some of this stuff, and just go through it, because it's extremely important that we realize the game that has been going on and what's really happened here in America and in the courtrooms. And it really does all bounce off of the 14th Amendment. But as we read of the Constitution for the United States of America, it goes on, for the purpose of forming we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and for our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Now, the Declaration of Independence, just read a paragraph out of that, and it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed." And that's the key thing, the consent of the governed. You know, there are 2 ways that the people can consent to their government. One of them is through the committee man process, and that has been hijacked at least since the middle of last century. And then the other is the... of course, the grand jury, which also has been hijacked around about the same time. Of course, they had been working on these things for 150 years anyway. They've been working on distorting and destroying the 2 ways that people can have control of their government. They've, you know, controlled our education, dumbed us down, and then they've removed all these things from our education. So, you know, the old thing is, you know, keep the slaves dumb. And so here we are. So we have to regain these things and recapture these things. And, of course, the only way we could do this is for re-education. And again, that's the purpose of National Liberty Alliance. The 14th Amendment is null and void. Let me read some of this that we put together on this paper. The 14th Amendment is null and void because it is repugnant to the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, which, of course, is part of the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Magna Carta, and the Holy Bible. It was supplanted by the enemy of liberty, passed by fraud, in a conspiracy to enslave the American people. The 14th Amendment was and still is a covert act of fraud and conspiracy against the people, upon which unconstitutional, covert, diabolical courts, where judges rule under the color of law by their oaths, claiming that people have no standing, whereas we read, all persons born or naturalized in the United States are subject to. And that's the key words. You know, we the people are not subject to anything, but that's the key, that's the game of words that they've been playing. That we are subject to the jurisdiction thereof, are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. So they're making us citizens of the United States as the corporation, not one of the states of the United States, but part of the United States as a corporation, because that's what they did, is they created a corporation, and the state wherein they reside. Um, I still got this bad cough, so I'm trying to catch my cough, get it off mic when I get that frog in there. But anyway, wherein they reside. Now, it's interesting that they use the word residing and not domiciled, because you're residing in a state. For those of us who have been following along, to reside means that you're not going to be there for a long period of time. You're going to move on. It's sort of like going to become a doctor, and you do your residency in a particular hospital. It may be a 2-year residency, so you're a resident there for 2 years, and that's where really the idea is coming from. You're not planning on living there. You're there for some business. You're there to perform some act or some duty, and then you're going to return, or you're going to go to a place where you're domiciled. And they're trying to domicile us in the United States, which would be in the District of Columbia, and then we would reside in whatever state you're residing in. And it claims that we're citizens of the United States and the state wherein you reside. It goes on, no state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities. And again, we don't have privileges, we have rights, but the 14th Amendment tries to turn this thing to privileges and not rights. Privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, and it doesn't say anything about the state, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of laws. So all of this is word magic. And again, the 14th Amendment is their, I guess what they would call their masterpiece in order to fraud us. Ultimately, it all amounts to a hill of beans. It doesn't mean anything if the people realize it. We have the power to totally ignore this. But the people have to act together in one accord. We can make it go away if we reject it. But the people have to become educated to realize that. People nullification, just like jury nullification. But because people have been dumbed down, our education is controlled by these people. We don't know and don't understand these things. As a matter of fact, they taught us to run away from these things. They don't teach us about the Constitution in school. They don't teach us about the political process, the judicial process, or any of those things. Well, let me go on and read just a couple more paragraphs here, and then we'll open up the phone. The people are not subject to the jurisdiction of the corporate United States. They are subject only to natural law, also known as common law, thereby under the jurisdiction of the Fifth Amendment. Hang on 1 second. I know Hagen's trying to get in. Let me see if I can get him into this call. Hey, Hagen, can you hear me? We're live on the air right now. Can you hear me?
Yeah, John, I'm on there, but what's playing right now is last week's show. I can't...
Well, you have to refresh the page. You have to...
Where do I do that at?
Well, what I would do is recycle the page. You can even shut the page down and open it back up and press the play button again. And because it's the program starts at 9 o'clock, if you hit the button before 9 o'clock, you're listening to last week's program.
Okay, that's what I've done.
Yeah.
All right, I'll try that.
Are you going to be calling in?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I'll get you online then.
Hey,
all right.
John.
All right. Yeah, Gerard, go ahead. We're live, by the way, but go ahead.
I can't get on Blog Talk. It won't take my password. I'm trying to reset it. I don't know why. I'm on Skype listening to you, but I can't get into my account to help you with the show. But I'm going to continue trying.
Well, you know how to get into the panel, right?
Yeah.
Are you in the panel now?
No, it won't let me. I mean, I can go on in the site, but that doesn't give me any administrator. I got to sign into Blog Talk Radio to get in as a host.
Right. And, yeah, there's a host phone number. You have to call the host call, and I can give it to you.
Yeah, that's the same number, that 352 number.
No, that's not the host number. The host number is an 866 number.
Oh, well, maybe you should put that in the text chat, and I'll try dialing with that. Maybe that's
Yeah, let me throw it up here. Hold on.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay, it's there in your text. You see it?
Yep.
Okay, you dial in, and you'll have They may ask you for the – no, I don't think they ask you for a PIN. But if they need a PIN, go to the what do they call this, the panel.
All right.
And you'll find a PIN at the panel.
All right, let me try that and see if it works.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Hagen, you going to come in on the call? I guess Hagen's gone. Yeah. All right, I'm sorry about that. All right, let's see where we're at. All these technical difficulties tonight. All right, well, let me go back here. You know, we're looking at the natural law, also known as common law, thereby under the jurisdiction of the Fifth Amendment, which is common law grand jury. The people are not citizens of the corporate United States residing in a state, but in fact citizens of one of the 50 United States domiciled in the same, with unalienable rights and not privileges or immunities. For we owe nothing to the United States for our existence. We the people created the three branches of government. The three branches are subservient to the people and owe their existence to the people and cannot legislate the behavior of the people. The United States was founded upon common law, whereas all men are created equal with certain unalienable rights, endowed and treasured by their creator, ordained by the people. Therefore, these rights cannot be sold or transferred. Any act by the legislature to subvert that relationship would be sedition, and all participants in the execution of such a fraud would be guilty of conspiracy against the people, an act of high treason, and for a judge, treason against the Constitution and the people. Anyway, the name of this paper is We the People versus the 14th Amendment. You can find this up on the Juris Document page. It's about 3 pages long. I suggest everybody should read it and glean what they can out of this. And again, you know, we write these short papers in order to educate people. And it's very important, you know, these points that we're making when we put these papers together. All right, with that, let me open up the telephone here. We have a couple of callers on the line. Let's see. Okay, I just unmuted someone. You should have heard. You've been unmuted. Welcome to the program. Hello? I hear somebody back there. They got to be hearing my voice over the phone. I will try that back later. All right, let's go to the next one, a 518-291 number. I'm going to unmute you now. Go right ahead. 291.
Yeah, that's me, John. John, that's me still. I'm on the phone. That's my Skype one there.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
you got control
on.
Now?
Go
you're in?
No. It's not letting me in. Just hang on. I'll try come back in later.
I'll leave you open meanwhile, and I'm going to leave your call open. Just mute your mic so we don't hear no background noise, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to 970-691. 970-691. Go right ahead.
Hello, John. It's Mike.
How you doing, Mike?
Colorado. Good. Hey, there's several counties going to file tomorrow, our grand jury stuff, and I just wanted to make sure that I'm seeing that we need to do this via certified mail versus taking it in. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct. The last thing you want to do is walk it in yourself. That gives them the opportunity to reject or refuse it. You don't want to send it in by carrier because the same thing, they could be doing that. That could be a problem too. The best way to do it, you know, when I say, you know, I mean really serve it like a paper because, you know, through the sheriff or someone like that. We thought about that too, but that's too dramatic. You know, we're not serving papers on the court. We're filing papers with the court. So the best way to do this is to send it by certified mail with return slip. So you get that green card and you fill that out. And they have to sign that card, and you get it back. So when they receive it, you're going to get that card back, and you're going to have the signature of somebody who received that. And that's the key thing. And we have discovered in New York, of all the counties that we filed, only one county of all the counties actually sent it back. I mean, I'm sure they wish they didn't now, but one county did. Other than that,
okay.
None of it. send them back. Now we've talked to people. They say, you know, well, we don't give them an address so they can't send it back, and that's not true. You know, we had addresses on all our paperwork that we sent in. Everybody did, and when we deal with them, we've been dealing with them lately. We've been dealing with them just through fax. I mean, we delivered the papers personally, but they only have a fax to return to. And that kind of gives us into instantaneously, but also it prevents one person but being put onto the hook. But we're looking maybe to open up a P.O. box somewhere, and until we get access into the court, and then run it out of that P.O. box. But we'll see what we'll do here on that. But everybody used their own addresses. Whoever took control of the paperwork used their own address for return address, and they didn't return anything back.
Okay. Well, I used my own address. But we were going to try and file in person, but I think we'll obviously change this and go to this mailing route. One other question then in regards to a filing fee. I know we have that court case out of Nevada that says this service should be all free. Do we just include that with the documents?
Right. On the top, there's a file on demand. And there should be no charges for filing any of these paperwork. We found that the counties returned it. Most of the counties returned our papers, the county clerks, saying we didn't put the money in or they didn't know where to file it or things of that nature. And that's okay. We just filed them away. We'll deal with them later. But we did do, due diligence, and we made notifications, and they violated us, and they violated the people, and they rejected it. And but the courts did not send it back, so I found that very interesting.
The courts have been sending it back?
No, they have not sent it back. Just the counties.
Okay.
Right. The county clerks have sent it back, but the court clerks have not. Because I think they're a little more sophisticated, and they talk to, you know, if they don't have a legal background, which they should, but we found out that some of them don't, or they don't have any knowledge of law at all. So they'll bring it over to the court clerk, maybe for one of the judge's clerk, who's usually a lawyer or a legal aid of some kind. But they'll take it over to them, and they'll read it, and they know better not to send it back because of the what we wrote on there. There's a violation of law for them to return that file, especially through the mail.
Okay. Now, as I'm seeing it, I need to have the set that's the your county jury paperwork, and then the supporting documents that go along with that out of the file is like four
pages.
Right.
There should be about five pages. The first page is the constitution of the election, you know, of the grand jury. The four pages is supporting information about that. You know, where we have the authorities.
Okay.
The authorities. Then there's three affidavits, sworn affidavits by three people who attended the meeting to reinstate the grand jury, the common law grand jury. Then there's we suggest the people to get a copy of the email receipt or the fax receipt for the newspaper. And I forget what else is in there. There might be another paper or two. You know, if you got a copy of the newspaper, but you know that's not necessary. You know, just the fact that most of the newspapers don't print this stuff. By the way, they just make decisions. Yeah, they make the decision on their own. This isn't important. You know, so we'll see how important it'll be later on, because they're not doing their duty, and we're going to talk to the newspapers about that, I think. I think we have to have a long talk with them, because the purpose of the newspaper ultimately is to make sure we stay a free state, and that's their job, and they have a special, you know, they're mentioned in the First Amendment, okay? And so they're supposed to be given due diligence to the business of the people. And this indeed is the business of the people, and they have to answer to this. You know, we're not going to indict them or anything, but we need to call them in on the carpet. And we need to make them understand what their job is. And if they're not able to do their job, then since they are licensed, you know, we'll look to see about removing that license. If they're not going to do their job and they want to be some kind of magazine, well, you go get yourself some other kind of license. So
okay.
We'll talk about those kind of things in the future in a national forum, you know?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that was kind of the case for us here. They wouldn't really publish it, so we just posted it in various places. So is there a way to get around that, or is that a document that we can kind of postpone on?
Well,
as far as
just
being posted in the paper?
No, just post it. You know, you call up and you're giving them a press release. It's their duty to do it. And they don't do it, they don't do it. Look, as long as a minimum of 3 people show up, you've done your due diligence. You make your phone calls
okay.
to the Liberty groups. Get the Liberty groups out there. I made lots of phone calls the day before and the day of the election. And I pulled people's, pulled people by the arm to come to this meeting. Hey, you know, this, that, or the other thing. And I, you know, and they agreed. They committed to coming. And so we had a good turnout here in my county because people committed to come.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but,
if
only you and 2 other people show up, that's all it takes. You know, just you want 3 witnesses. I mean, you could do it with 2 witnesses, too, but, you know, 3 is the idea.
We had 10 at our meeting, our first ones, and I've got all the paperwork myself right now. Now, on our new website, where are these documents now? Is that under the judicial section?
Yeah, you will find that. Let me go to the website myself. You'll go under jurist, and when you get to jurist.
Oh, the jurist section? Okay.
Right.
I'm there.
Jurist orientation. And they'll also find in here, let's see, how to start a jury, okay? And you click on how to start a jury on that page. You'll have the video. You'll have a zip download available there. You have the video and everything you need right there on that page.
Yeah, I've watched, scrolling down through, I've watched all these videos already.
What about the one on the how to start a jury page? You're on the new on the new site now, right?
Yes, I am, yeah. And I had to kind of like re-log in. It wouldn't take my old page. It came up with an error, so I had to kind of redo everything. But I'm in now, so I'm good.
Anybody, all they have to do is put in their email address, and you'll be emailed the username and PIN. Just say, email me a new PIN, and they'll email you username and PIN. You get a direct link, and then you can change your username and password. You were thinking for the meetup group, the username and password for the meetup, we didn't have one on the site. So now on this site here, now everybody logs in to see that extra information.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm logged in now. I had to go through a few little extra steps to get in tonight, but I think I'm good now. So we're going to change plans, I guess, and try and get this mail tomorrow. All right. Well, that answers my questions for now.
Okay, appreciate the call. All right, let me go to the next caller here.
How do I move? Okay.
All right, yeah, you're muted now. If you can, I think it was #1 to raise your hand. If you can, hit #1 again to bring your hand down. I don't know why they don't have a way for us to put your hand down, but it's if you can, hit #1. I think that's what it was. Well, maybe it was *1. I don't know. All right, next caller, 570-309. You're unmuted.
Hello?
Hello. How you doing?
Oh, yeah, we're talking about the 14th Amendment thing, basically. You know, when the court is writing your name all caps and put in a box, basically those entity belongs to the private, so they put in a box, first of all. And the state courts are also operating on the admiralty, and we should be able to bring in UCC, and they could disappear if a judge actually bound by the UCC code, and some judges do. So now they started to say, in order to do foreclosure, party has to bring the original primacy, you know, which the state considers as a contract. So, you know, we could really go into any court and be able to win, you know. We just have to make the judges bound by the their oath and adjudicate the laws that they are bound by, you know.
Right.
And also
well,
the banks
problem,
are...
Yeah, the problem is, first of all, they're all a fraud. It's a fiction. It doesn't really exist. It exists in their corporation, and as long as the people believe it exists and has power, then it will exist and it has power in the minds of everyone. People willingly go to jail. Judge Bork, for those who know who Judge Bork is, you know, he was rejected as a Supreme Court justice. I think it was back in the 80s. Reagan put him up there, and he was a great mind, a great thinker, and he had said that 80% of the people in prison are there because they opened their mouth. In other words, they pleaded. If you don't plead, they can't have any jurisdiction over you. Now, there are ways they get around this because these people are criminal. They think they're above the law. They think they could do what they want to do, and they do, and they get away with it because people don't know what to do. You can't get a lawyer to help you because the lawyers are all part of the game. And the judge will, any lawyer that gets out of line, the judge will pull them in the back room and let them know, hey, you know, you're getting out of line, you're not going to go there no more. And if you do, I'm going to make a phone call. And that phone call, of course, is
yeah,
to the bar.
Yeah, basically what they're saying is that that capitalized name is a U.S. Citizen.
Yeah, but again,
to the District of Columbia.
Again, you're right. That's the game they play. That's the fiction. But it's still, it's illegal. It's not legal. You know, some people say it's legal, but it's not lawful. No, it's not even legal. It's not lawful and it's not legal. It's a fraud from day one. The whole contract is hidden to begin with. There is no contract. We've agreed to nothing. We have unalienable rights. They cannot be transferred or sold. We just read that just right here in our paper. They can't be transferred. They can't be, you can't get rid of your rights. You could decide not to exercise your rights. That's your prerogative. But they can't get rid of your rights. They can't sell them.
Yeah, basically, you know, when I told the court that the, yeah, you know, you guys are operating the Admiralty, and here I am, I mean, bringing the your laws, and you are bound by it. You know, you are the U.S. district, you are the district citizen, not me. And I basically either that or you have to invoke and give me a common law court. And that's when they just decided to disappear.
Right. Well, they're not going to give you a common law court. We're going to have to force them to give us a common law court, and that's what the purpose of National Liberty Alliance is all about. But the bottom line on these courts, you know, you got a judge that you made him a little nervous for some reason. A lot of these judges, on the state level, I don't know if it's a state judge or a federal judge. If you're dealing with a state judge, first of all, most of them, those judges, they're as dumb as we are. They really are morons, and I speak to ourselves first because we too, you know, we've been dumbed down all our lives. We think we know something, but we know nothing. And once our eyes start to open and we start looking at these things, we start to see the word magic that they play. But the bottom line is a lot of these state judges, they don't read the papers. They don't care. They just rule whatever they want. The fix is in. The game is on. If you're a pro se or someone coming in as one of the people, however you want to call it, I go in as one of the people. I call myself the plaintiff, so therefore I'm the sovereign of the court. I don't use pro se or anything like that. But, you know, when you go in without a lawyer, they want to get rid of you, and they want to get rid of you quick because you're not going to make a deal.
Yeah. It was interesting that from the beginning, I basically bound all the public officers to sit on their office, and then I started to saying all these laws and case laws, and then judges just couldn't say anything. They were just kind of quiet, and then it was just me and the lawyer. So then basically I pushed him out too. So then the case was pretty much gone.
Was this a federal court or a state court?
No, it was a New York Supreme Court, a county court.
What county?
A mortgage case. What county? Sullivan.
Sullivan County. Oh, well, I'm surprised you got away with that down there. Well, a mortgage case, you know, they may throw it out. You know, they know that all those cases, they have no proof, they have no documents, and it's all funny money, they know that. And if you understand the game and they understand that you understand the game, they'll let you go. It is true you know, when you're dealing with those kind of cases, you know, there are certain things if you know, and you, they don't want it to be in a court record, and they certainly don't want you,
you know,
to appeal
also,
something like that.
Yeah, and also what I found out is I actually studied the United States Code in CFR because they are bound by it, so I want to know what they are supposed to bound by. And what I found is that the any mortgage or loans, anything that is we owe, you know, they say we owe to the bank, basically that is the jurisdiction of a federal court, and it's stated in the United States Code. And so the state court really do not have any jurisdiction over anyone about anything dead.
Well, you're absolutely right. Yeah, any of those things, because what they do, they come at you in a process called INREM, I-N-R-E-M, and they take away your item, whatever it is, it's your property. They take your property away, and they do it under a piracy act. The process, again, is called INREM. And so it's done at sea. Where they will seize a ship, and they can seize the ship without notifying or going through due process of the people who own that ship, because, again, it's under a piracy act. And they've moved that, of course, into the United States, and that's how they take property away from people. And the towns do it all day long. It's a regular business. You can literally go down to any town, you know, down to the, you know, the courthouse, or not really the courthouse, but the county clerk. Okay, and they have these little booklets there of all the houses that are for sale because of taxes, and it's a regular business. These people are just taking people's properties, and the horrible thing about it is that they take it away from people in the prime of their life. You know, not the prime of their life, the twilight of their life, and in their last few years, they've given it all to society. They've worked hard, and they've paid off their mortgages. And then they can't keep up with the taxes, and then they take their homes away and they throw these people in the streets, and they don't care.
You
and
know, actually, the one way to win that in RIM case, basically, they are in a quasi-RIM. Quasi means basically it's a fraud. And they do not have any jurisdiction when there is someone who is in the out-of-state in the deed. And so if there is a multiple person in the deed and the some of them are out of the state, the quasi-in-rim doesn't have any jurisdiction whatsoever for that case because there are different defendants from different state. And I found out that's pretty interesting.
Right. Well, again, it gets back to the federal courts. It's a federal issue because what happens is in order for them to come out after you in rem through the state, they do the same thing, you know, through... we talked a little bit about this last week. You know, they do it through the county clerk, and they'll file a notice of lien. But it's the same thing here. They file the notice of lien, and when they file a notice of lien, it's assumed that they have a proof of claim and a proof of fiduciary control over your estate. It's just assumed that way. The judge assumes this. Why? Because they filed a notice of lien. And people don't understand or know because it's a big secret. Lawyers don't even know this. We kind of found out about it, you know, accidentally to some degree. When they don't have they don't know enough to challenge it because they don't challenge the proof of claim. They don't challenge the fiduciary control over the estate. And since they don't challenge it, the judge slaps the hammer and lets it go. And people lose their property all day long.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, the INREM case, it's only the federal court jurisdiction.
Yeah, it's only a federal
thing,
absolutely.
So they cannot rule that, rule that in the state court. Yep.
Yeah. Well,
so
what
if
happens
people
is
know
they
about
get,
these things...
Well,
and,
what happens is it's done in the state courts. It's done in the town... Well, good question. I got to think about it. It's done in the... It's just done as a process, really. It doesn't even go through the courts. It's a procedure, and they don't even go through the courts to do this. They just take the property. And people give up their property because they think that they should be paying these taxes and that they owe this back to the town. They don't know what to do. And they try to hire a lawyer, and the lawyers don't know how to defeat these cases. And even if they did, they're not able to go there because they'd lose their license. They'd be debarred. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on this subject.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Anything else? I mean, one of the main things is we need to bring our court systems back to common law. And there's only one way to do it. The people have got to get up and do it. And if they don't get up and do it, it's
yeah,
not
you
gonna
know, happen. Actually, my case, why they ran away was the I invoked the common law court, and I demand certain things, and then that's when they just shut down, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you know, you've got a judge that may have been sensitive to this. You got a judge maybe that had an experience before you and said, I'm not going through this again. And people should realize this. You know, if you fight these things in the court, the people behind you, it'll be a lot easier job for them. You know, I've heard of cases where people, you know, one guy stood up and said, hey, look, you know, you don't have the authority. I never gave you this, that, or the other thing, and never gave you consent. We don't have no contract. And the judge, you know, said, okay, fine, dismissed. And the next guy come up and said, I don't want to say what he said. And he said, anybody else in the courtroom? This is a story told by Carl Miller. As a matter of fact, we have it on our website. And a couple of people left because they, you know, the judge just didn't want to go through it because I guess he's been there before. He went through the hell. You know, we've taken some judges through some hell in some of the courts that we've been in. So we kind of, you know, forged the path a little bit for other people and make it a little easier because right off the bat, they're just going to want to get rid of the case. It's just not worth their headache, and they don't know what to do with
mm-hmm.
it. So,
right.
And they're afraid to go forward with leaving something like that open in the court. And that's why you can win. If you keep fighting jurisdiction in the town courts, you can win, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The federal courts and the Supreme Courts, they get a little more difficult. So, all right, let me move on to the next court, unless you have anything else, particularly another subject.
No, you know, it's interesting that I found the Title 28, Section 132, it says court of record. The United States District Court is court of record.
Well, you know, again, they're claiming to be the sovereign by that. And people have got to understand that. People who have taken the Bill Thornton course that we have up on our website, the common law course, it's all in audio, MP3s. You take that course, and you'll learn about that, and you'll understand the game they're playing. But, yeah, they claim themselves a court of record, and if you go in there and you don't know that, whatever they say is the law. And then you walk out, and they're wondering why you're not getting the Constitution, why you're not getting the law. Well, you didn't challenge the jurisdiction. So you have to
to
make
your... Actually, there is one guy, he's not in public, but he actually... renamed the court, and he actually got rid of the name district, and then he just say a United States court, and then now he's totally in the common law court himself.
Well, yeah, that's you know, it's a way you change the shingle around. I do that in New York here. You know, they have a Supreme Court, State of New York, County of Dutchess, or whatever you're in. And I change the wording around. I say, they say State of New York Supreme Court, County of Dutchess. I say New York Supreme Court, Dutchess County. And that changes the shingles around and brings it back to the government and takes it away from, the fiction that they created. Because, you know, whether people realize it or not or whether they believe it or not, we're under corporatism. Corporatism is synonymous with Nazism. They're one and the same. And all of our governments have been incorporated. And the whole thing is about corporations, and people own corporations, and you're a product, and they own you. And it sounds crazy to people, but that's what it is. And we have to understand that. Now, just turning the names around doesn't necessarily, you know, do the trick, because a lot of these guys, they don't read them anyway. You know, they don't read any of the papers.
There's an interesting thing about the Lackawanna County in Pennsylvania. Actually, the incorporated document is somewhere in New York. Can you imagine? It's a Pennsylvania county.
Yeah, I heard
county
about that. Yeah.
That's
very
crazy.
Strange. Yes.
Yeah.
So they incorporated in New York, a Pennsylvania county. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, you know, truth sometimes is stranger than fiction. So, all right, let me move to the next caller. If you want to talk, we'll come back to you again. Okay, next caller, 520 number. You should be hearing you unmuted now. 520-568.
Yeah, hi, John. Christine out here in Pinal County, Arizona.
How you doing, Christine?
I'm well, thank you. Question with regard to, since we're speaking of contracts, I may be jumping the gun here a little bit because we haven't even got into the courts yet, but when we talk about the administrators and the budget and getting paid, something that's been nagging me, do we become a federal employee if we get paid out of the budget of the court?
Oh, absolutely not. No, no. Look, this has nothing to do with the federal government, has nothing to do ultimately with the state government. It has to do with the business of the people and filing for the necessary funds in order to do the people's business. And they can play whatever game they want. Once we're in, we're going to bring things back to common law, and they're not going to be able to play that funny game again. You know, again, they're running all the courts in the United States, and there may be very few exceptions, I understand, but I haven't seen them. But all the courts in the United States are operating under corporate charter. They're under corporatism. And they're fulfilling the needs of the boss. They're making money. It's a business. And justice has nothing to do with the court system we have. And occasionally people might get justice, but generally speaking, it's not there. And when you go in, no matter what you do, no matter how you plead, no matter what you say, they're going to ignore everything you have to say. I had an argument with a judge. I've brought this story up numerous times, where the judge overruled the United States Supreme Court and the Constitution. And I asked him, I says, you know, you're overruling. So what you're saying is you're overruling the United States Supreme Court. He says, no, I'm not overruling the United States Supreme Court. He says, but this is a decision in my case. I said, well, I understand that. Then you're overruling. But he rejected that. And at the time, I didn't realize it. I wish I knew what I knew now at that time, because ultimately, what I should have brought it to the next level is he's under corporate charter. And therefore now I want to know where his bond is at. I want to see his oath of office, because you took an oath of office to uphold the Constitution right here in this courthouse, and now you're operating under a corporate charter and you're operating under statutes and violating my unalienable rights. You see, I could have turned that whole conversation around. I mean, he was already doing that, and I was trying to make that point anyway, but it would have been much stronger if I understood the game. You see, they just talk over you. They shut you up. When I went into federal court, I didn't get three or four words out before they shut me down, because I think my paperwork told them that I understood what was going on in the courthouse, in that courtroom. And I was put his flesh on the line. I accepted his oath, and I accepted his bond. And with that, now he's got a duty to tell me he doesn't have a bond if he doesn't have a bond. I don't know about the federal judges, but I know none of the judges in New York State have a bond. As a matter of fact, I found out that the state backs them up, okay, out of the, what's the name of that office? The controller's office, which means that we, the people, are backing them up. So if we pull the bond, we're pulling our own money. I mean, it's a joke, and it's something we're going to deal with in New York. A judge has to have a bond. But anyway, we put his bond on the line. We put his oath on the line, and then we put a lot of things, a lot of positions we had. We kind of put his flesh on the line ultimately, and he understood that. So in court, he didn't want me to say anything because he didn't want anything to come out into the record, you know, in the court. And he wasn't sure what I was going to say. And it worked out better for me. And my paperwork, I said what I wanted to say in my paperwork after that anyway. And the court case was over. They got rid of the case. It's gone. So, but you can win if you understand the game, but these people are evil. It's difficult. And, you know, it's just the way it is. You're not going to get justice in these courts of injustice. Anything else?
Nope, that's it, John. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. 248-393. You should hear. You've just been unmuted.
Hello,
393. Yep, we can hear you. Who's calling?
Hey, John, how you doing?
How you doing?
Don Levine here, Oakland County Coordinator, Michigan.
How you doing?
Good. I apologize. I've been working a lot of hours, so I've been away for a couple of the calls here, and I was wanting to try to get caught up on what's happening with your case out in New York.
Yeah, well, we did do a little bit of an update. We did a we're doing a what do they call it, a writ of mandamus which emanates from the King's Bench. We've been talking a little bit about the King's Bench. Last week we talked about the King's Bench. The King's Bench ultimately is the grand jury, and it's also the trial jury. They're one and the same anyway. One's operating in the court, one's operating outside the court. And when the grand jury comes into being, that's when the King's Bench is open up, and that's when the Supreme Court opens up. Until then, you don't have a common law court. You don't have a Supreme Court. You have a ultimately, you have a corporate court. And but in any event, what we read and discovered that all of the extraordinary writs come forward from the King's Bench. So we don't go to the courts to ask for a writ of mandamus to request it. We are the court. We command. And so that's what a writ of mandamus is. The word mandamus means we command. And it's in the King's writing with his seal. So we represent the King of the people. We're the judges of the King. We're the reflectors. If you, again, you look into Black's Law Dictionary and you study these things, the King has judges on his panel, on his bench, and they reflect his will. And the King doesn't really speak, and he doesn't really command much. He wishes, and his command ultimately is put down in writing. In our case, it's the Constitution, it's the Bill of Rights, it's even the Magna Carta and the Holy Bible. It's common law. And so we're there to represent the King, and we are part of that process, and, you know, we're sovereign also, but we're there to represent the people and to make sure the will of the people is maintained and held in the courts. And that's what this is all about. That's what we're trying to teach people that we need to be doing. And people have got to bone up on this. If, again, I want to say it over and over again. If you're looking to take on the position of an administrator and you're not willing to bone up on the law, then don't take that position. I want to discourage you. You know, help other people to get the process going and back them up, and you could become jurists, but don't become the administrators. They need to understand what's going on. They need to understand the fiction they're up against. They need to understand the process and the procedure. They need to understand common law. They need to understand all these things. And it's not really difficult. It's a matter of just spending time to immerse yourself in these things. And you'll get it. You know, you spend long enough time in it, and you'll speak it. It's just the way it is.
Okay, so did you gain access to the jury room then?
Oh, no, not yet. We've had a lot of problems. I've been super busy and rebuilding the website. I've been ill for the last 2 weeks, and I also had some personal problems. My wife was ill in the hospital, and so we've had some setbacks, you know, from my position, and Gerard the same way. He's had some personal problems, and we're now getting back up on our feet, and we did go down and do our investigation. I wrote the mandamus over the past few days. I'm just going through it right now, and I don't know whether I probably won't put it in the mail tomorrow. It'll probably be the day after New Year's. We'll probably mail it out on the 2nd. And we'll give them 5 days from the following Monday to respond. And we're going to talk about that mandamus next Monday. We'll go through that mandamus. And I think it's pretty powerful. It lays out the position. And it's straight out. It doesn't mince any words. It talks about the reality of the fiction that they're operating here. And it puts them right on the spot, I think. And we'll see what's going to happen. Next move, after that, we're going to have them arrested if they don't obey. Because now we'll have sworn affidavits, and those sworn affidavits will be witnesses to the law being broken, and we'll show the law being broken. We'll bring that to the sheriff, and we'll insist on the arrest of these people immediately. And we'll just keep putting the pressure on this way, and we'll go to the next person. We'll do the same thing until we get our indictments through on those four judges. This is how we will, and we'll be indicting more people and adding them to the list as they go. They're going to find themselves sitting in there. I think it's getting more and more powerful. There's no doubt these people are frightened to death, and they should be. They stutter when I talk to them. They literally stutter. They don't even have words to speak. They don't even know what to say. And when I overspeak above them, it shuts them right down. And they answer every single question we ask. Now, sometimes they'll answer questions, with BS, For instance, I don't remember. Or, they're just hiding and lying. So they're not coming out with the straight truth on some things, but they are frightened, and they know that something's up, and they know that we have something here.
Okay. Another question, if I can. There was a case here in Detroit with the IRS versus Doreen Hendrickson, where she filed a zero-income return. They tried to force her to sign a return issued by the IRS, placing her W-2 income on her tax form. She refused to sign it. When the judge ordered her to sign it, she wouldn't, so she was charged with contempt. She went to trial on the contempt charge, and it was a hung jury. The case is scheduled to be reheard in May of 2014. But in a federal court, how can we go about getting a common law jury?
There's no such. First of all, there's no such thing as a hung jury. A hung jury is a court's way of saying we're not happy with the way things are going. We'll do it all over again. You know what they're saying with a hung jury is there's one or two or three people holding out. Okay.
Right.
And the
That's
bottom line, the bottom line, you know, the way it is. Look at, you have a jury of 12 people. That's
right.
The law. When they play this six game, you know, that really tells you right off the bat it has nothing to do with anything worth anything. But it's 12 people. All it takes is one person. That's all it takes. And they
right.
go free. They go free. That's it. I mean, at some point, they got to come to the point where they're saying, okay, we can't go any further. We're, you know, and the bottom line, that means that they're innocent. They walk. Okay? So, but they do what they want because it's their courts. It's not a real court. It's a fiction court. It's under corporate charters, and
right.
and they're cheaters and liars. They're thieves. They're criminals, and they do what they want. So, you know, they're going to do what they want, and they know no one's going to do anything. The guy above them, they're doing the same thing, and well, it's all a money game. You know, they'll keep you in court for as long as you have money. When they start to see the money going down, then they'll start to work a deal, and it's not going to be a great deal for you anyway.
Okay, so the what's the answer to the question? I mean, can this hearing that's in May in a federal court, can there be a common law jury put forward in that hearing somehow?
What state is it in?
Michigan.
Okay, well, if you have the grand juries operating in Michigan at the time, they can go plead to the grand jury. The grand jury will look at it, and if they see a wrongdoing, which I'm sure they will, they'll intervene.
Okay.
And that'll be that. You know, look at a puppet grand jury is a fraud. It's a wrongdoing. We will indict any once we get into power, any prosecutor anywhere in the state that tries to pull up a puppet grand jury, we're going to indict them.
Mm-hmm.
That's
okay.
That. That's they can't do that.
All right. So I guess the reason for my question is I was assuming that the grand juries, the common law grand juries we're trying to formulate here in Michigan
are
state level, and this is a federal court.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. The federal government's coming in on state land. They're coming after a person on that state soil. They have to go
okay.
to the people in that state soil.
Okay.
Let me give you an example. The district that I'm in the federal district I'm in, it covers maybe about five counties, okay?
Right.
And of those five counties, they have to draw a jury out of the people of those five counties. Well, they're on
right.
our soil. We, the people, rule here, and we will let the federal judge know in no uncertain terms, just like we let the state judge know. Look at if the prosecutor wants to bring up a case for indictment, they need to come to us. Don't be going around getting those puppet grand juries because it's against the law here in the soil of New York, and you can't have that. So if you need a grand jury, here's the phone number. You can give us a call. You can call any of the five numbers on the five counties, and those people will accommodate them with a common law grand jury. And there's a lot. Most federal cases won't be heard because we will not indict. But we'll talk about that at a later time, but there'll be no indictments because if it's a wrongdoing, you know, if it's anything to
right.
do with fiction, it's not going to happen if the people take control.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Let's see. 352-502, you're being unmuted. The mic.
Yeah, John, this is Hagen.
Oh, how you doing, Hagen? You going to give us an update what's going on down there? I'm glad you got in.
Yeah, I had to call in on the phone because I just can't get onto it on the computer, so
okay.
I decided
well,
to call
worth
in on the
that,
phone.
Look at, it's a matter of, well, let me just go through this for other people who aren't on the in the chat room on our website, and maybe they had problems. They're probably in the chat room, maybe in out there on Blog Talk, and some are just coming in on the phones also. But on our website, anybody that was signed up before, all you have to do is click on Log On. You should be getting an email. And if you didn't get the email, just click on Log On. When you log on, it'll ask you for your username or your email. Now, nobody has a username from our site. We've given them one, but they don't know what it is. So they have to click on, they have to put in their email. So once you put your email in there, and then you click on give me a new password because you forgot it or whatever it says there, click on get another password, it'll send you an email with access to the site. And when you go in, it'll tell you, it'll instruct you to create a username and password. And then you go create your own username and password. Then whenever you come to the site, you should be able to, you know, it should remember you, really. You know, click on remember me or whatever there is that you have to, whatever boxes you have to click. But you should be able to come onto the website without having to log in all the time. But once you log in, and if you need to, you know, you just use you write your username and password down somewhere. But if you need to, you put it in. If not, you should be able to come right on. Now, once you're on the site, to enter the call, all you have to do is to go to our chat room. You can click on Monday Night Call, or you can click on the chat room button there, and you go in there, and you can participate in the chat. And you got to wait till 9 o'clock to push the button on the box. I'm going to talk to these people about that because it shouldn't be that way. But you have to wait till 9 o'clock. You can listen to an old program while you're chatting. But at 9 o'clock, you got to refresh the room and push the buttons to play again, and you'll get the live program through the chat room. We were trying to set it up where it would just automatically stream through, but we can't do that. They're not set up that way. You have to actually push that play button. And you have to. And if you push it before 9 o'clock, you will be hearing last week's program. And if you don't refresh it at 9 o'clock or after 9 o'clock, you're going to continue to listen to last week's program. So you got to refresh the page and push the play button again, and you'll hear tonight's program. You know, next week, same thing. So anyway, that's how it works. But go ahead, Hagen. Update us on what's going on in Florida.
Okay, we've got 9 counties now elected, and we've got 37 in the works. So we're moving along pretty good, not as fast as I'd like to, but pretty good. But I have also moved forward to take possession of the court, the grand jury courtroom here in Marion County, and again got the runaround by the court clerk. So he gave us a name of another fellow who works for the county commissioners, and he called me actually twice today. He seems to be a pretty nice guy. He's a retired former state cop from somewhere. I didn't ask him what state. But another piece of evidence of all these people working several different careers and getting retirements from all of them. So we're going to look into that. But what I did do, what he did help me in, was finding the statute that the court clerk had referred to. And he said to me, he said, unless it's in the statute, you'll not be getting a courtroom. And I said, well, we're going to get a courtroom one way or the other. We're going to get into the courthouse. So your statement there is a statutory statement, and we don't operate under statutes. They don't apply to us. They apply to you. But anyhow, I decided to go ahead and look at the statute, which I typically do, to see if it says what they're saying. And lo and behold, it doesn't. What it says is, it says county organization and intergovernmental relations, holding of court and meeting of the grand jury place under the other than the courthouse. In the event that there is not suitable available space in the courthouse due to construction, reconstruction, destruction, or other good reasons for the holding of any court or courts now provided to be held in the county courthouse, or for the meeting of the grand jury of the county commission, with the approval of the court, may designate some other place or places located in the county seat for the holding of the court or the courts or for the meeting of the grand jury. Then at another section in that same title, Title 11, Special Grand Jury Fund, the boards of county commissioners of respective counties are hereby authorized to budget and expend county funds for the creation and use of a special grand jury fund. The monies of the special grand jury fund may be used by any grand jury in the county in their discretion in investigating crime and enforcing the criminal laws. The grand jury may employ special investigators and special legal counsel and may pay all the expenses incidental to such purposes, provided that no expenditure shall be made without the approval of a majority of the members of the grand jury, whose vote shall be recorded in the minutes of the grand jury's proceedings. The money in the special grand jury fund shall be paid to the grand jury on their order upon a voucher being presented to the clerk of the circuit court, signed by the foreperson and by a member of the grand jury designated as the jury treasury. So we, I mean, this slaps him right in the face. And we're setting up another meeting to go back in next week with him. And I'm going to withhold this information and get him to tell some more lies with four witnesses there. And then I'm going to spring this on him.
Well, let me ask you, where did you find this online? Did you seek it out online?
Yes.
Yes. Can you send, when you get a chance, send me a link, okay? I'd like to cut and paste that. Is it in PDF form or is it just on the website?
On the website. I can copy and paste it and send it to you. I've already sent it to the county coordinator.
Send me the actual link to that page, and I'll create a PDF out of it, and I'll put it up on Florida's page. We've got a not up on Florida's page, but we have a couple of let me just quickly go look at this. We have on our documents. Under our documents, we have state election laws, and we have state constitutions. I will put down what kind of law is that?
It's a statute, state statute.
Okay, well, we'll put certain things up. We'll create a page where we can put information up on different states for things like this to get the statutes on what their rules are for a grand jury. And other states will probably, try to discover these things in their states and what statutes they have for, them to operate under to prepare for the grand juries. And we'll post that up there, too, so people can have it. And by the way, I checked my mail today, and that paper still didn't come. I did have some.
Well,
mail
I got one paper back. They said it was undeliverable. That one for 600 something or other.
Right, right. That's 600 Violet Avenue. It's up on the website. Yeah, I don't know why that would happen.
Well, it came back to me undeliverable.
All right, maybe you can get someone with a scanner to scan it. How many papers are there? How many pages?
I don't recall.
Right, because I get mail all the time at that. I got a couple pieces of mail today at that address for coming into the name that we put up there on the website. And you can even send it to John Duresh at that address. It'll get to me, I don't know why. Yeah, I don't know why it didn't come to me. I will talk with these people when I see them tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to talk to the post office about it, too. They should have delivered it. I paid for it once. I shouldn't have to pay for it again. But you know what, John? These statutes, I suspect these kind of statutes are in every state because from what they're telling me, I mean, this is nothing but more corporatism. They're controlling from the top down.
These people don't do anything without statutes, okay? So when they have to set up a grand jury or any kind, they have their rules on how to do it. Now, the rules may not necessarily be as much as they were, say, off of Florida to get into that kind of a detail, from the grand juries and the way that they, financially support them. But they do get into the details, how they put them together, because they have to have some way. But that doesn't mean that we can't run the orientation of the grand jury. It's the people's business. and the funding needs to be made available in order for us to do it. Otherwise, if the government does it and controls it, then it's a puppet grand jury. It's tainted.
Yes.
You know, you watch TV and you hear about all these things going on, and you know, where are the prosecutors? How come the grand juries aren't coming out going after these people? Well, because the prosecutors control them, and the prosecutors are lawyers, and lawyers are minions of the New World Order, and they're not going to do anything outside of what they're told to do. And they've been programmed, and they definitely are not going to go after anybody unless they're told to, especially anyone big or anything that, you know, they're just not going to go after them.
Another thing too, John, before I go, I was looking at the information on the sign-ups and all that on your new site,
mm-hmm.
and that's not accurate. It looks like that there's a bunch of stuff missing off of it.
Yeah, they're still working on that, and you know, a lot of the on the state side of things, I have to fix up and get that going. And on the county side, they're still working on some of that, and no one gets to see that except for a state coordinator. So you may go in there and just see a lot of, if you have access to seeing things, you'll just see empty things. You won't see people in there far as people that aren't in there. But you should be able to see the county coordinators there. But we're still going through that. There are still some bugs that have to be worked out. And I'll be talking with with the guy tomorrow or the next day, and we'll get him ironed out. We were trying hard to get it, get it out today so that we can use it tonight and start to get acquainted with it and find the bugs and get rid of the bugs. We knew bugs would be here, I'm sure, but, and we had some bugs when we started. We had some problems getting started tonight. But it seems to be working now, and these things will be taken care of. So.
Yeah, well, I want to, for the people that are listening in, and hopefully they'll spread the message, I want them to know I'm starting to have fun here. This is not all terrible things. This is actually getting to be fun. I'm going to enjoy this next week.
That's
and,
right.
I expect we're going to get that courtroom because the statute right here says if they don't have it, they have to find one for us, and that the county commissioners and the courts can designate a place. We're going to demand that place be a secure place as well.
It has to be an official place. It has to be in an official government building somewhere.
Right.
And they're going to have to make the accommodations. I know we spoke earlier, and in your case, on that courthouse, I think you said it's only 6 years old. What I'm going to do, most of the courthouses here where I'm at in New York, these courthouses have been here for 50, 100 years. And I'm going to go get the plans. I'm going to go down to the building department, get the plans, or the original plans for the courthouse, to see what the layout was and where the grand jury room is. And if there's no grand jury room there, that means that they got rid of it. Well, we want it back. Here it is in the plans. Fix it.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting, too. We discussed that, myself and the county coordinator for Marion County earlier today. This
uh-huh.
statute is a 1955 statute. And 1955 was the last known common law grand jury in existence.
Uh-huh.
So I find it ironic that those two dates match.
Right. Yeah, well, look, at they need to get rid of this because they can't do their deeds because they need the courts to do what they do. Look, nobody could take over this country and do what they've done to it unless they own the courts because everything they're doing is a crime. So that's why they don't want us there.
Yeah. Okay, well, I'll get the address for where you can find this stuff, the contact, the link, or whatever you call it. I'll get that to you tomorrow.
All right, and let me just make a couple of points here on the state coordinators. We got to do some kind of training for people to figure, and it's not going to be much, but on how to use kind of the back office for the website. Because a lot of the controls are going to be in the hands of the people that are at the state level coordinating this, and if you'll have the power to appoint a couple of co-coordinators, and maybe some person's better with the computer than others, but you should all learn how this works. It's not rocket science. But anyway, I'd like to get someone to volunteer, one or two people that are state coordinators, maybe give me a call tomorrow, that has a little bit of a computer background so that I can go through it with one or two people, and then I can send everybody else to them, and you can train people. You could do that over Skype. Skype is kind of good to do it over because, you know, you can share your computer screen, so you can have that person who's learning open up the Skype and turn on the share screen, and then they can scroll, and you could be telling them what to do, what buttons to push, and you can train the people. Maybe someone can write the instructions down. I'll see if I can't find some video on some of these things. I don't know. But anyway, you need to all the state coordinators, they need to know how to get into the back office and deal with things. They'll have total control over getting in there to share the list with all the county coordinators. We suggest one county coordinator at a time, organizer, which will really become an administrator. Once a county becomes constituted, there should be at least one administrator. Eventually there'll be four, and there'll be a secretary. So those administrators should have access, and of course the secretary should have access to the jury pool in the entire state that they're in. And so the state coordinator can give that to them. The other thing is that whenever we have an election or a constitution of a grand jury in the state, and you got 6, 8, 10, 12, well, the state coordinator will be able to go in there and change the number and keep it up to date. Again, they'll also have the ability to give authority to two other people to work with them with the same authority they have, except for the authority to create co-coordinators. And they have the ability to do blogging and some other things. So they'll be controlling all the things concerning their state, so they don't have to come to me. They could do it themselves. And this is what has to happen. Every state has to be able to deal with whatever it is that they have to deal with. They shouldn't have to come to someone on like me to try to deal with it on a national level. I got my own state. I want to deal with my state, and everybody else needs to deal with their state. We're going to have, I mentioned this last week, I'm going to make Gerard the national coordinator, who will work with the 50 coordinators, and I'll assist him on that. But he'll be the national coordinator. And once we get the 50 states established, then the 50 coordinators will choose a national coordinator, and they'll change that person as often as they will. Okay, they can leave them there for a year or five. It's their business. They do whatever they want. And that person, you know, they'll have the controls on a lot more things and be able to work problems and situations out with people. And this way, we'll never have a top-down structure. We'll just take it from there. But anyway, we do have to do some training, and I'd like to train maybe one or two people, and then those two people will be able to hopefully train everyone else, and we'll take it from there. Anything else, Hagen?
Nope, that's it.
Okay, let me take the next caller then. The next caller is 616 number, 272. You've been unmuted. 616.
Okay,
how you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah, can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. I have a couple of questions. First of all, with these common law grand juries, are cases from family court that deal in children that were removed, are those going to be able to be taken before these grand juries?
Well, if it was a wrongdoing, absolutely, and I haven't found any rightdoing in any family court ever. Every case is a nightmare, and that's going to be, I know here in New York, one of my priorities is to deal with this family court problem, because there is so much evil going on there. These children are being destroyed in these courts, and I have a... I'm going to write a paper on what I think and how I think these family courts should run, and people will be able to read that and get their own thoughts and figure that out, and everybody in their own counties and states are going to have to figure that out for themselves. But I've seen a lot of things going on. I see how they operate. I understand the game. I see the money game, and it makes me sick to my stomach. And the people who are suffering as is as children, they're destroying our children, they're destroying our future. They're taking away, generally, they're taking away the fathers from these children, sometimes the mothers, but usually it's the father. And they destroy the father, they degrade the father. It doesn't matter. Everybody is a child molester. Everybody is a child abuser. Every father is no good. It's horrible. It is horrible. You know, the first time I went down to family court, and I went into this room, and there was a lot of people there, mostly women, some men, you know, but mostly women. And, you know, usually an elderly woman and a younger woman, and I guess it's their mothers coming in with their daughters and so on and so forth. And then the court starts to go in session. All of a sudden, I see these people being let in, all men in greens. They got all these fathers, so many of these fathers in jail. Not all of them. There are other fathers that wouldn't, of course. But generally speaking, they're coming in with chains up. I mean, what the hell is going on here? You know, this is ugly. This is horrible. And it's destructive. And the first thing they do, you got a lawyer up there making a decision. Just imagine that. You got a lawyer sitting on the table with this black robe on making a decision, and it's a corporate lawyer to begin with, okay? And he's making a decision, and he stretches it out for eternity to begin with. Everybody's got their own lawyer. They put a lawyer for the kid, and a lawyer, everybody's fighting. There's no humanity here. There's no compassion. There's no concern. There's no care. It's horrible. Horrible.
I know.
It is if you want to go to hell, go to family court, and you're in hell.
You're absolutely correct.
I am sick.
My other question is, I know I have it, but I just can't find it. Do you know where the statute is, or you know? Case law or something, where it says that subject matter jurisdiction can be challenged at any time by anyone.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you go up to our website, now, if you're on our page, on our chat page, you got to be careful. You want to right-click jurist so that you can open that link in another tab. So you don't lose the chat room or, you know, if you're on the chat page. But you click on Jurist, okay? And that'll open up a new link. Right-click it, open up a new tab. Then come back to Jurist, and you'll get a drop-down box. Now, if you click on Law Notes, okay, these are notes that I've been collecting for quite some time now. And whenever I write a paper, I refer to these notes. If I have to go look up a new law, a new case law, I eventually give some keyword to it, and I put it into a notepad and put it into my list. And this is a copy of my list. And this isn't all of it. I got some more to share here, but this is a good part of most of it. But I do have some statutes. I have some U.S. stuff and so on. But if you go through here, now what were you looking for?
Subject matter jurisdiction being challenged by anyone, anytime.
Okay, so let's see if we have something in here under J for jurisdiction. Jurisdiction. If you click on jurisdiction, it opens up, and you got all kinds of stuff in here in jurisdiction. Black's Law definition, Bovier's definition. You have Supreme Court ruling, no judicial process, whatever form it may assume, can have any lawful authority outside of the limits of the jurisdiction of the court or the judge by whom it is issued. And an attempt to enforce it beyond these boundaries is nothing less than lawless violence. And that is a U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Here's another one. Once challenged, jurisdiction cannot be assumed. It must be proven to exist. Stuck versus medical examiners. Jurisdiction, once challenged, cannot be assumed, must be decided. Maine versus Tribotot. No sanction can be opposed absent proof of jurisdiction. I mean, it goes on. Law requires proof of jurisdiction to appear on the records of the administrative agency of all administrative proceedings. Hagen versus Levine. This is a treasure trove. I want to tell you, anybody who is in the courts, anybody that is writing papers, trying to learn, you need to go to this page. And and this is just the beginning of what we have. You know, we also have a court access court right above Law Notes, and it lays out the anatomy of a court case. It's the same thing in every state. Nothing changes. It's the same thing. In New York, I think the only big real difference is that we have We have two papers to fill out to get a court case going instead of one. We do the index number you purchase that for $210, I think it is, and then you purchase judicial intervention at some point for $95. And I always open a case up without the judge because I don't want the judge there. The other side always tries to sneak them in. We got a case right now where we're going to do a writ of error to a judge that came into the case because the defendant brought him in, and we're going to kick her out. And she's already come in to try to close the case down. She just made a ruling, you know. We're going to make our ruling. But anyway, other than that, that's the only difference. You know, everybody has a summons. We show you how to create the summons. And we, you know, you have to have proof of service, and we have proof of service papers. Everything's the same. You know, you have they call it a complaint. We call it an action at law, because an action at law brings it under the common law. And we show you what the anatomy of that is, and we go through the whole anatomy of a court case. And we also have a court book, and all this stuff is free, you know. Which, by the way, you know, we could use the support. Anybody that can offer a support, $5 a month or more would be great. You know, if everybody gave us $5 a month or more, we'd be doing great, and we'd have plenty of money to do everything we have to do. But on our website, if you go to Welcome, it was originally set up with a blue name. Anybody who is a supporting member will have a blue name. But that was changed around to something else. And instead, there'll be some kind of an identification next to the person's name if they're in the chat room or if they post something on one of the papers to let everybody know that person is supporting us financially. They're given $5 a month or more. And so hopefully people will support what we're doing. You know, there are people that give 24/7 to this stuff. We do a lot of time in writing, and we pull money out of our own pockets to get these things going. I should have brought this up a couple of weeks ago, but we've been so bogged down with problems and situations. Someone has offered us $8,000 as a matching, what do they call it, a matching fund or something. So we're going to set up a goal thing on our site where we're going to take up a collection of money, and if we can collect $4,000, then they're going to match that with $4,000. And they're going to match it up to $8,000. So we're going to try to hit that goal of $8,000 and get that matching funds from the people and have enough money to support what we're doing. You know, up until now, it's been pretty inexpensive. You know, it's been a simple website. It only cost a couple of $100 a year, literally, and a couple of bucks a year for the Euro. But now, you know, we're starting to use some broadband. We've got 30 servers kind of on call for us. We're ready to go national. And once we start hitting those thousands of hits and hundreds of thousands of people that might flood on at some given time, it's going to cost a huge amount of money to maintain and keep. You know, it costs money to have the technical people to work on the technical side of the site. I didn't have the ability to do that. I did the content. That's my ability, but I don't have the technical ability to build the structure. And so we have paid people to do that. And also we have to pay these people, you know, every month for technical assistance. So when the site goes down or we have a problem, they come out and fix it and tweak it and make sure things keep going. And, of course, you know, depending on the broadband and how many servers we might pull in from time to time, we'll peak up to many thousands people at a time coming online. Especially when we do national radio program or something like that, which we have one coming up, the site has to be able to facilitate that. You know, the server has to be able to facilitate that. And so that costs money. You know, we're talking easy many hundreds per month to thousands per month, depending on how many people we have coming in. And now, you know, it will be growing, you know, exponentially. And as we get more and more people, hopefully more and more people will give $5 a month or more, and so we'll be able to pay for that extra broadband. So we should be able to support ourselves and pay for all these costs. So anyway, a lot of costs involved here, and we took a leap of faith in this. We had some other people that offered us some money. We're still waiting. We'll see if that comes through. But we took a leap of faith. We got bills coming up. We don't have the money to pay for it. And but we trust that the money's going to be there when we need it, because we really believe in what we're doing, and we believe ultimately we do believe that we're being led by righteousness through God. So we're trying to do the right thing, and as long as we stay on that path, I think we're going to be blessed and we're doing the right thing. So,
amen.
So I think the money will be there. Hopefully, people will see what's going on. They'll get involved and get these grand juries going in all the counties across America, and support this movement by giving us $5 a month or more. Anyway,
right.
that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Okay, good.
Anything else?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next caller. 434-566. You got the mic, 566. Got some music back there, 566. You got the mic.
Hi, John. We did a simulcast with you tonight where angels fear to tread. Yeah,
hey,
I've got a couple
how
of...
How you doing, Jim?
I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
Yeah, you got a bad cold. Yeah. Other than that, I'm doing good.
Yeah, you and Doug, too. Doug couldn't make the show tonight, so I had to carry it, and I just
hooked
into
your channel. Yeah, I almost was
going
to pass this. I don't know where Gerard, what happened to him, but I was almost thinking I was going to have to pass this over to Gerard because my throat is so bad from coughing. I'm surprised I'm able to stay so long without taking a cough. I've been hitting that mute button often, but hopefully my coughs aren't coming through. But, yeah, I don't know where Gerard is. Where are you, Gerard? But go ahead.
Okay, well, I had a couple of things. First, that caller who called about his friend who was hit with a charge of what was the charge he was hit with? She's got to go to court for it.
Well, I don't remember. I talk about so many
cases. It was contempt of court. Well, here's what I used on a judge when he asked me, or where he said, I'm going to charge with contempt of court. First thing you say to the judge is this. You ask him a question, okay, and the question goes like this. Is that civil contempt or is that criminal contempt? Now he's forced to answer, okay? And if he doesn't answer one or the other, he has to dismiss later on, which is what he did with me. But if he says this is criminal contempt, you then say, okay, where's the injured party? Where's their injury, loss, or harm, and where's the victim? Okay, because you can only have, in a criminal case, injury, loss, or harm, and a victim. Now, the second thing, if he says it's a civil contempt, you say, okay, Your Honor, where's the contract that I signed? So now you put him on the spot, so he can't get you free either in that question. So if he's still on the line or listening in the background, he should consider those two approaches when the woman comes into court. And she has to ask the judge, is this civil contempt or criminal contempt? And then respond that way. Another thing that was mentioned earlier on when you were talking about the 14th Amendment, if you notice the language of the 14th Amendment, it's the only place where it says, if any persons, now this was, the 14th Amendment was like set aside, it like sets itself apart. Now when it says, if any persons in that language of the, especially in New York, and I use this in New York, the definition of a person is a corporation, a fiduciary, or another country that that owns land or property within that state. So a person is not a flesh and blood human being. So the 14th Amendment doesn't apply to anybody, period. Okay? If you look at the states of New York, and I use this in the New York state court, where I say, I'm sorry, I'm not a person, a fiduciary, a ward of the state, a resident, so on and so forth. Anything that is other than a flesh and blood human being or man on the land, okay? And I specifically stated who I was on the land and that I had rights upon the land. So that's another thing. Now, the third thing I wanted to address, which was you had a woman on there earlier who was talking about the judge and how she made him run away. And one of the tactics I used in the court was the first thing I did was I pointed to the flag in the court and said, that flag is an admiralty flag and has no jurisdiction. So immediately I challenged jurisdiction. And then I demanded to see his oath of office. And when that happened, it was like he had to get me out of there. He dismissed until a future date. And from that time, I sent the ticket back in saying I was not going to contract with them because the contract, of course, was the ticket. So those were the three things I pretty much wanted to...
Well, those are very good things. You know, if I have to go back into court before we turn back to common law, because we're endeavoring to go to common law, and then all this fiction stuff just disappears, the bubble bursts, it's gone, it's over. And they've taken the English language, the word persons and citizen and all the, and they've made it mean something else, and it doesn't matter what they made it to mean. It's all a fraud, so it's irrelevant. If only people understand that and they just step up and tell them to go to hell, that they're not going to deal with it. You know, we got people, we can get rid of this people nullification. It's that simple. But, you know, what I'm going to do, if I have to write another case before we get to common law here in New York, is I'm going to start off with the fact I've already called down to get all of the oaths of office of all of the judges here in my county, and any case that I write, I'm going to put their oath of office right in there, and I'm going to say I accept all the oaths of office of all the officers of this court, and I'm also going to put in there the fact that he doesn't have a bond, and I know he doesn't have a bond, and if he wants to correct that, let's do that right now, because that causes a problem right now. So you're hitting him on his oath of office and you're hitting him on his bond. Now, a case that people should really, you know, kind of put aside and keep and use all the time is Ex Parte Watkins 3 Peter. And it's cited in many, many court cases. One of the court cases, Schenectcloth versus Bustamante. And in our mandamus, we do quote this case. So we'll be posting that mandamus up this week sometime. And so next Monday, people will be able to get it down. But we'll post it before next Monday anyway. As soon as we file the mandamus, as soon as we serve the mandamus, let me put it that way, we're going to serve the mandamus. We'll do this by sheriff probably. And as soon as we serve this mandamus, we will post it. And here's what it says here in 3 Peter. The judgment of a court of record. Now, you know, before this we got into the fact that a court of record is the king's bench, okay? So we lead the process through what a court of record is and that it's identified with the king's bench, and therefore it's the grand jury. And it goes on, we read, the judgment of a court of record, or common law court, or grand jury, or a trial jury, that's a court of record. The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final, let me repeat that, it's final, is as conclusive, and now this is the United States Supreme Court saying this, it is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of this court would be. It is as conclusive on this court as it is on other courts. It puts an end to the inquiry concerning the facts by deciding it. Inferior courts are those whose jurisdiction is limited and special and whose proceedings are not according to the course of common law. Criminal courts, if you see the name criminal courts, it's not a common law court. They have no jurisdiction. Criminal courts proceed according to statutory law. Jurisdiction and procedure is defined by statutes. Likewise, civil courts, courts of equity, Supreme Court operates under courts of equity usually. Civil courts and admiralty courts proceed according to statutory law. Any court proceeding according to statutory law is not a court of record, which only proceeds according to common law. Common courts of record only proceed according to common law. It is an inferior court, therefore. So any court out there, criminal courts, civil courts of equity, admiralty courts, whatever they want to call themselves, all these town courts, the Supreme Courts, all of them, without operating without the tribunal. They may have a jury up there, but if it's a puppet grand, if it's a puppet jury and the judge turns around and says, by the way, you know, you guys get to decide the facts, but I get to decide the law, and here is the law, and he gives them the statute. That's a statutory court. That is jury tampering. That is a corporate court. It has no power, no authority. And when you realize that, you start to realize the huge job that we, the people, have before us. Just about everybody in jail is in there illegally. And obviously we can't go emptying the jails because we have a lot of, you know, criminals that deserve to be there. You know, there are violent people in there. But we do have to do something, and every county is going to have to figure out what they're going to do. And before we do it, you're going to want to get your whole state together working on this particular problem so you're unified in it, and you decide what you're going to do. And first off, you know, you got people in jail for driving without a license, literally doing a year's time in jail. I mean, who are these people putting these people in jail? Okay, so you have to come together on a state level. All of the juries, all of the grand juries in the different counties got to come together and agree, okay, we're going to go to the courts and we're going to demand, we're going to do a habeas corpus on all the people that are in jail for driving without a license. And we just got to quickly review through those cases. We got to release them. I mean, we can allow the wrongdoing to continue. We can allow these people to continue to suffer for crimes that aren't crimes. Woe is us if we do. We have a problem because we have a duty. And the duty is to fix and repair all wrongdoing. And that's a wrongdoing. And, you know, and there's lots of other crimes. We're not going to get into the details of all of them, but you can start listing them all out. And we've got to start doing something to save these people, literally to save them. Because they're being persecuted, they're being criminalized, they're being... And you know what? They want to criminalize everybody, you see, because once you have a record, driving without a license becomes a criminal offense, now you got a record, and guess what? You can't get a permit to carry a gun. So they're going to make everybody a criminal, okay? And this is their game. Look it, this is corporatism. Corporatism is synonymous with Nazism. We're in trouble unless we fix it. Only we, the people, can fix this problem. We can't elect anyone to fix it. We can't appoint anyone to fix it. We can't ask any small group to fix it. We, the people, together, united, in one accord across this entire nation, can only fix this problem. And that's why we're here, National Liberty Alliance, to try to provide the education, to try to provide the tools and the communications and the organization in order to come together as a people and stand up for righteousness and bring justice back into our courts of injustice. So this is a very, go back to this paper, this is a very powerful, this is written in one of the other papers we have up online, and I don't remember which one. It might have been written up, we might have quoted 3 Peter in Extraordinary Writs or some other paper we wrote, but I know we've quoted this before in one of our other papers. But it will be in this mandamus, and we will share it next week, and you will be able to read it and get empowered by it. I know it empowers me. So, anyway, you have anything else to say?
Yeah, just one other thing. I was reading someplace where... if you go into court and you come up in front of the judge, first thing is not to go into court because you're not supposed to be there anyway. So if you get summons or whatever, you just sign it. Well, you don't sign it, but you just write on it, I do not consent to these proceedings, and you send it back in, especially if it doesn't deal with criminal law or whatever. But the bottom line was... this one person said, I want to know the true cause and nature of these proceedings against me. Now, supposedly, what this told the judge and what this refers to is what happened back in 1933, was that there was a bankruptcy, and through that bankruptcy, they wrote all these laws that are the Uniform Commercial Code today and the false law which they take us into. And what that was actually pointing at was that the true cause and nature of the actions against you was a proceeding to take funds from you to pay for a bankruptcy that occurred in 1933 that you were not a signatory of. In other words, all the courts that are set up, most of the money goes to these bankers who entered into that agreement back in 1933, and everybody who pays is actually paying for debt that can't be repaid. Now, I don't know if that's, you know, right on of what's really transpiring or if I got it even close. But,
well, I have one word to say about all that. Fraud.
Yeah, simple of course. Absolutely.
Keep it simple. It's all fraud.
Oh, yeah, because first of all, the debt was fraud to begin with, because that bankruptcy and the fraud that they entered into was the signing over of all property of the United States as collateral for
that
debt.
Bankruptcy
and
was caused by the bankers, no less. You know, there's a guy, Norman Dodd. I think he died in 1988. And right before he died, he was interviewed. 3 months before he died, he was interviewed by Griffin. And we have that up on our website. And let me see where I can get that real quick. It's under issues. I know that. And, yeah, if you see here, let's see. You've got E. Edward Griffin. It's probably in there somewhere. But I think I have it somewhere else, probably under money. You'll probably find him in there, too. But the guy's name is Norman Dodd. He's an elderly gentleman. He was in his 80s, I think, when he gave this interview. And he was the lead investigator for the Reese Committee back in the 40s and the 30s, particularly in the 40s. And he was also the investigator back in the Depression that the bank set forth to find out what happened. And when he found out what happened, they tried to shut him up, and they blackballed him from the banks. But anyway, this guy understood how the banking system worked. And he revealed the truth and what went on. And it was caused by the bankers themselves. What they did is they flooded the market with money, plenty of money, and then they started to pull it back. And they made a cash shortage. And then they caused the crash. And once the crash took place, people ran to the banks, and there wasn't enough money, and then everything collapsed. These people caused it, okay? They did this for the purpose of the conspiracy to really bring us into this New World Order, to get all these laws going and to give us focus on problems and situations as they constructed all of these laws, which they call laws. They took control of our schools in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. You know, as the time went along, they took more and more control. All our schooling is centralized. Anytime you have anything centralized, it's called Nazism or communism or Marxism, because that's centralized. You know, your school, your education should be local. It should be decided by the local people, the parents of those schools, going to meetings to decide what their curriculum or their children's going to be, what kind of a schooling that they want. And but everything's you know, centralized. So they control our education. They control our entertainment. They've controlled our laws through all of the minions of the New World Order. Lawyers. Everywhere you turn, there's a lawyer. You have a problem in the political realm, there's lawyers all over the place. You talk to a congressman, they're talking to lawyers. Most of them are lawyers. Everywhere you go in the government, there's filled with lawyers. Everywhere you go in the judicial process, all lawyers, 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 bar-taught lawyers. And it's the same thing. And therein is the problem. But, you know, it's all a fraud, and it can all go away if everyone became educated, if everybody understood the problem, and everybody understood collectively that we can step up and nullify everything. Just say no. If everyone went to court and pleaded the fact that not, pleaded nothing and said you don't have any authority over me, you don't have jurisdiction. I never gave you consent. And it'll put your date off to another day. Okay, next case. You don't have authority over me. You don't have jurisdiction. They'll put your case up again. I mean, if everybody kept, you'd overload the courts. They'd collapse. They'd collapse just by people challenging these people. Even in the Supreme Court, everything, challenge them. But unfortunately, we only have a few people challenging here and challenging there. It's an uphill battle. But if we all did it, believe me, they would fold up like a cheap wallet. So we could do this by taking control the way we're doing. This is the way to do it. Only the people can save America. And if people don't step up and do it, America's gone.
I agree.
Anything else?
Totally. No, that's about all I had. Thanks,
all right,
John.
Let me move to the next caller. Thank you. Okay, this is looks like Connecticut, 203-807. You should be hearing that you've been unmuted. Go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you, John. Very inspiring, of course, every week, just hearing you comment on the questions and so forth. As you know, I'm talking to a lot of people about this. One lady was asking about the probate court, if that was and I know a lady asked just tonight about the family court, so it probably would be the same answer, where if any harm was given then or done, it would then be in the jurisdiction of the common law grand jury?
Well, there are two levels of hell. One is found in the family court, and the other one is found in the probate court. And I don't know which one is worse, because they get you in the beginning of your life to destroy these children. They destroy these children. I'm so angry. They destroy these children, okay? And they grow up with all kinds of problems. And then they get you when you're dying, when you're on your last leg, and they take everything away from you, and they stick you in a nursing home, and they take away everything you worked for that you wanted to give for your children. They take it away, and they suck it up in the courts. These people are evil. It's hell. I shouldn't talk no more. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, that was great. Now, I could see that you're up on that, and I thought it would be a similar answer. Just interesting, the same night you get the question about the two the beginning and the end court. Very interesting. So basically, if anyone has a gripe or wrongdoing of what they've done, it would then you could go before the common law grand jury.
Absolutely. We are going to put a directory up on, we've got the page for it, but it's not filled in yet, and we're going to start filling that in. As grand juries become constituted, at some point, they might want to wait till they actually get a position in the court, or they might want to start getting the phones going beforehand. I've already got my phone set up in my county, and I know Putnam County's got their phone set up. And so I have an answering system on it, and it comes to my cell phone, and that'll be shared with three other people that'll be working with me in my county eventually. But every grand jury will have a phone number, and it will be answered professionally, and every grand jury they will have once. This is something we knew we started teaching. We realized we were missing something when we talked about the four administrators. We're talking about the four administrators. We actually need five people. We need four administrators and one secretary, literally a full-time secretary, 40 hours a week, that comes to the courthouse and where there's an office and answers the phones and does the paperwork and gets everything going there. And then we, of course, participate with the paperwork and the other phone number. Now, there's one phone number it's going to call the hotline. And every county will have a hotline, and that's what we're talking about. That's the phone you want. And that phone has got to roll to four people to share that hotline, so it's always manned all the time. And whenever anybody has a problem, then they call that number. They should be able to get someone on the other end of that line, or at least someone should get back to them quickly, you know, because there's a messaging system and everything. Well, you could do a rollover. If you're not available, roll over to the next person, you know. There's all kinds of things you could do with these phones. But someone will answer that phone and deal with the problem that that person has on the other end of that line. And a lot of problems can be dealt with on the phone. Believe me, when you put that person on hold and you say, hang on, let me call this office that you're having a problem with. And you call down to this administrative office of some kind, I don't know, the Department of Labor or the Board of Elections or something. And you look for Mrs. Smith or Mr. Smith or whoever it was that violated this person. and then you bring this person back in on the line, and then you introduce yourself as an investigator with the common law grand jury here in the county of whatever, and then you deal with that problem. And I'll tell you, I think 99% of the problems that people will be dealt with on a phone. And you're going to settle a lot of problems just by making phone calls. And then when you have to, you go down and you do the investigation. You got four investigators that go down and do the investigation. And then you figure out what the problem is. You write the prescription, and they are required to follow that prescription. And they're welcome to disobey it if they want, because then the next day you bring it up to the 25, and you sell it to everyone else, and they see the wrongdoing. And then they're out of a job, and then they find themselves seeking out money to find a lawyer to save them because they're going to court. Now, of course, the opportunity will always be there to try to fix the problem without sending it to court. That's the key thing.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so we can solve so many problems. So we're going to create that national directory. It'll be up on National Liberty Alliance. It's the page is already set in place. And let me see how much it's developed. If you go to Welcome, and you click on Grand Jury Phone Directory, okay, you get the 50 states. Let me click on Alabama, first state. Okay, Alabama opens up, and it's talks about in Alabama, 67 counties, 3 have been constituted, and it has every county here, every single county in Alabama. And it's going to be the state coordinator's job to get the phone number at each one of these counties. They call up the people in Chambers County or in Clark County or Clay County and say, okay, did you guys get a phone number yet, a hotline? Okay, well, let me know when you get the hotline. And as soon as they get the hotline, they give them the number, and the state coordinator will go out here and put that number in, and Clay County will have a hotline, and Clark County will have a hotline, and Coffee County, and Bullock County, and Butler County, and every other county in Alabama. And the same thing in every state. And you see, right now, you can't get to a grand jury. I know so many people with problems, and they call the prosecutor, they want to talk with the grand jury, and they won't let them in. They're the gatekeepers, and they prevent people from coming in to get to the grand jury to explain their problem, to get some kind of settlement here, to get the justice. But you can't get to it. You listen to the news, and you watch what's going on, and you see all these criminals. I mean, they talk about it right in their face. How come the prosecutors aren't out there getting the grand juries to prosecute these people? Because they're the gatekeepers. They prevent they work for the New World Order. They're the minions of the New World Order. And they prevent anything from coming in, any justice taking place. You'll only see cases that they want to throw someone under the bus. So, anyway.
The nail on the head about what the prosecutor there, and of course with the other things you just mentioned, because with the prosecutor, it just pretty much stops there. If he's not interested in the case, and that's why this grand jury is so unbelievable, because it's really one man deciding justice. And think about it, you could be going against a friend of his or a crony or whatever, and then you're not going to get the proper justice. Even if they had some kind of committee, which they don't have, there's no way of going around it. It's completely political. So you're on point.
Well, that's right. And that's a good point, and I'm glad you made me think a little bit about that, because I think we the people have got to come together, and I think we need to do this. I think every state needs to do this. This has to be done in the state. We the people have got to come together in our state. When we form our grand juries, and we have to agree on the harshest punishment you can think of, that includes jail time for anybody who is an administrator of the grand jury and takes a bribe or fixes a case or lets crime go by, we have to agree that this is so horrible and horrific that this is going to be the penalty. And everybody's got to know what that penalty is, and there will be no mercy. I really feel that's a necessity to be written up, that everyone sees and knows and understands. We have got to keep ourselves clean. We have got to keep ourselves focused. We have got to be constantly bringing up the fact that we have to act in honor, in justice and mercy. We have to talk about the two maxims that drive us, and we have to constantly remind each other we got to do the right thing. We cannot become them. And so we have to make it really harsh to any of ourselves, anybody amongst us, that betrays the people by this position, it's got to be a harsh punishment, hard jail time. I really feel that, and I'm going to argue that case here in New York when we get together as a whole, all 62 counties. And I hope everyone in their state does the same thing.
No, I agree, John, because what happens if somebody really knows the penalties ahead of time, then hopefully that will be a great deterrent.
Well, absolutely, because they better not think they're going to get mercy from me. They won't get mercy from me if they violate that trust. That's a trust that you can't violate. That's like violating your own children, okay?
Right,
maybe nothing's worse than that. That's the worst case in the world is violate your child, okay? There's nothing lower, nothing worse, nothing more horrific in my thinking than that. But with that said, this is second to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, right, children or betrayal in the family, absolutely. And also what you said earlier about the probate, it's amazing that you're on point on this stuff. You know, the funny thing, the probate, I don't know if you're aware of this, I wasn't, that the probate, people involved in that, the officials, they have an extra layer of protection. They pretty much get to do anything they want. And when you try to appeal it, they just say you don't have jurisdiction or standing. It's unbelievable. Have you heard
about
stuff
like
that?
That's what they're trained with in Supreme Court. When they go to judge school, that's what they seem to train them. No jurisdiction, no standing, what's the big one? No cause of action. They love that.
Right.
All day long, everything you do, no cause of action, no standing. They throw you out.
But how come it's specific just to that court where I see, at least in the civil court, you know, that there are certain, you're able to appeal. They can't really block it. But it seems like the probate court, they don't have to answer that to anybody.
Well, yeah, you know, I know with the family court here in New York, I haven't looked deeply into the probate court in the Constitution, but here in New York in the Constitution, it gives a lot of latitude to how they can operate in those courts. And they've taken that latitude, which was given to them so that they would yield towards the humanity of it, and took it towards the place where it's become so horrific, okay,
right,
destructive. They took it a different direction. Everybody gets a lawyer. Everybody's destroyed in that court. Everything's a fight. Everything's put off till we'll be back in 3 months. We'll talk about it again. They keep you there for the life of your child until your child is totally destroyed and becomes a criminal and a problem to society, him or herself. Because that's what they do. They create destruction. I am so angry when I think about these things because I hear these cases all day long, and I've had personal experience here in locally in cases. It's just horrific. So.
Yeah, no, really, that is something you really do know about. That's incredible that you have such a range like that. This one last thing. I know you were speaking earlier with a woman who was talking about, you know, people losing their houses for taxes. I mean, that's really a pet peeve of mine. If somebody owns a house for 30 years, it's all paid, and then within a year or two, they could lose 30 years. Is there anything that you've run into that someone could do to defend themselves in a tax situation?
Absolutely. And we're doing it right now. But it's been put on hold because the woman that we're helping, she got ill. She went into the hospital. We didn't even know she was going to make it or not. She's in her 70s, pushing 80. And she ended up in a nursing home. And now I hear she's back out, and we're going to be getting back to her to talk to her. But we may wait or for her to bring her into the grand jury and just deal with her there. But, yeah, you know, these people come out in a process called REM. And I know that they haven't crossed their T's and dotted their I's, and every one of them are criminal, and they're all going to go to jail, okay? All of them. Because they've taken a poor woman that is given to society, given to that neighborhood. She's been up there since she was 7 years old. She moved into that community. Her parents went up there, and they bought huge pieces of land to do a resort area, okay? They built this beautiful resort area. And really nice hotel and all the amenities and different things, and people come up, parties, and I mean, just beautiful place, okay? And they have given to the community multi-millions of dollars over their lifetime, okay? And this woman now, you know, her husband, her brother dies, who was running the business with her. Her husband dies. She's pushing 80. I think she's 76. And she's, you know, scraping pennies to survive, and she can't run the business no more. She only gets a couple of people in the hotel from time to time, and it costs us more money than what it's worth because she's got to pay people to do everything. She can't walk, and she can't afford the tax. She's been down to the people in the town numerous times asking them to lower the tax, that she has no business going on, and instead they raise the tax. And then they take all her property away. For everything that you, who the hell are these people?
Exactly.
That's all I got to say. I want to find out, and I'm going to find out who these people. I know who they are anyway, and I know who they are, and we're coming out for them. And we went and we sued the judge and everybody, because when the judge refused to hear us when we tried to get an injunction, and he never returned my call, because I'm a nobody. I'm not a lawyer or anything. Who the hell am I? He's not going to talk to me. So what does he do? He talks to the other side. And he doesn't talk to me. And he totally ignores the paperwork. And that's okay. I took the paper. I added his name and I refiled. And we sued him too. We go after all of them. And now we're at a point where, you know, everything's kind of frozen on that case. And I think we're just going to hold it off to the grand jury. And we're going to take it to the grand jury. And I'm going to push it to the hilt. These people need to pay.
Yeah. And one thing as a point in, you know, your favor and for this woman and everybody else going through it, you think about this. What would the sense be of ever even owning a home if it could be lost so easily, so hard to get one, you know, outright?
Oh, it's horrible.
Get a home.
It's horrible. Right. Look, I know somebody recently. They worked all their lives. They've had great. They had great medical coverage. Then they got injured. Then they were on what do they call that? Compensation or whatever they call that. Then they lost that. Then they developed some other medical problems. Never could go back to work. Lost their medical coverage. So and they're on Social Security, and they try to get the Medicaid. And then the Medicaid plays a game because the parents died a few years back, and all the children got a piece of the estate. And then they say, well, no, none of them should have gotten it, and they're making an argument. They won't help her. She needs dialysis, and they're threatening to pull the plug on dialysis because she can't afford it. Who the hell are these people? That's all I got to say. I want to find out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. I mean, if more people knew that it was so easy to lose a home, they wouldn't even buy a house. You see what I mean? Like, to get all the people so angry that how could you even consider because anyone could have a problem in their life. So you have a problem for a year or two, and that's it? You lose your house? I mean, how could that ever be? I mean, how could it, you know, it's like the arrogance of these people. But thank you, John, very much. I'll let you get on to another caller. Thanks again, as always.
Thanks for calling. Okay, let's go to the next caller here. 720-524, you should be hearing. You are unmuted.
Hello, this is Stephen in Denver County, Colorado.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. We just reinstated our seventh county here in Colorado tonight, Jefferson County, and tomorrow we will be filing our paperwork. We've been holding off so we could do it all together, and we'll have a unified common law grand jury here in Colorado. By the time the mail hits end of this week.
That's great news. You called me earlier. We were talking, right?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
I had a question for you. And I have another question for you. While we're all on the line and people are thinking about procedures, could you briefly go over what papers have to be? And I do remember you saying on one of the Monday night calls this month, which aren't up on the yet on the website for replay listens, but that as of now, we're just mailing the paperwork in for the filing?
Well, that's correct. Now, you know, we do have all of our past programming for, we go back about a year, a little over a year now, as a matter of fact, because we've been
right.
talking about legal stuff and courts and everything for a while. And, but they're all up now, and when we end this call tonight, it'll immediately be up. It's automatic with Blog Talk, so this call
will be
available.
Oh, that's interesting, because I checked earlier today, and it was only current through November.
Oh, well, you should go to a website now, and you click, you'll see the last five programs will be there. You just refresh the page.
Okay, great.
If you go to Blog Talk, that's because I'm not updating on that page no more. That's why. Okay? And if you go to Blog Talk, we have everything on Blog Talk. Now we've got
On Blog Talk, not on the Monday Night Call page.
Right. Well, it is now on the new Monday Night Call. If you're on the new site right now, which just launched today, on that Monday night that the people are listening
Okay, good enough.
They can listen to
all
the
Okay, but anyway, you said on one of those calls this month that what we should do is mail them certified mail. Is that right?
Absolutely. These things should be you do not want to personally take them. If you take them, they have the opportunity to refuse them, okay? You want to get proof that you gave it to them. You don't want to serve them because we thought about that, and we decided that that's a little too pushy. And we're not serving them with papers. We're filing something. So the best way to file something if you don't want it rejected is to mail it by certified mail. Sometimes if I have a paper I want to file with the court and I know they're going to give me a hard time, I'll put a file on demand on top of it, and I'll send it in certified mail. Matter of fact, I always do everything certified mail, return receipt to the courts now. And they have no choice but to take it, and I can prove they got it, and they can't take it out of the file. So the best way to do it is to send it in and get that green card. You got the green little slip that you fill out, and that proves that you sent it, and they give you that receipt. And then you fill out one green cards, and they put that on the envelope. And when they get it, they sign that green card, and that comes back to you. Now you got proof and a signature that they received it. And that's it. And we haven't had one court. We only had one court in New York that has sent it back. And I know they're repenting it, but other than that, none of the other courts sent it back because these guys know. They know. And we do a file on demand on top of it on both cases and a letter on top of the one that goes to the court.
Gotcha. And what paperwork do we mail to them? Did you lose me? Hello? Are you there, John?
Well, I guess I'm back. Hopefully, are you hearing me now? Hello?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. All right, yeah. I what happened was I was coughing. I went to hit the mute button, and I hit the wrong button. I got to be careful now.
I wondered what was going on.
So I had to dial back in. So, all right, anyway, where were we? What was the last – I hope you entertained everybody. I hope you entertained everybody while I was gone, you know. What paperwork?
Sorry about
If you go on to our website and you click on the jurist button, and remember, you don't see the jurist button unless you're logged in, but you click on the jurist tab. And on the jurist tab, there is a selection called how to start a jury. I'll change that to how to start a grand jury. But how to start a jury. And read that page. It's only a couple of paragraphs. There's a video, 35-minute video, goes through the whole process and procedures, paperwork and everything. And there's also a zip file you can download. It says watch the video below and down the docs and video zip file. Right there, you click on the download doc and video zip files. And all the paperwork that you will see in that video and the whole process, you will have all that paperwork right there with you, and you can go through it. So we try to give a step-by-step for everything there.
Okay. Okay. Well, the declaration and the affidavit
Yeah, what you have
mail.
First, you have everything goes. You have to put it together and staple it all together as a document. It'll explain it to you in the video, and you'll see the paperwork. The top paper is the file on demand. The next paper is 5 pages. The first of the 5 pages is the declaration of the constituting of a common law grand jury in your county, and the 4 pages underneath that, which is part of the 5 pages, is by what authority we do this by. Underneath that, you'll have 3 affidavits from 3 people who attended it, swearing that they saw this took place and that the people decided to do this thing. It's usually unanimous, or it could be overwhelming majority. Then you'll have also a copy of the receipt from the news, either whether you faxed it in or emailed to the some newspaper to have them put it in the newspaper for
the press release.
And if they do it, they do it. They don't, they don't. But you got the receipt that you told them to do it. And there might be another paper there I can't think of, but that's it. So that's pretty much it. That's all your documents. You staple it all together. You make the original copy you keep. You make maybe three or four copies. You want to send one to the to the county clerk and one to the court clerk of the court. And so that's 2 of them going out. You'll have 1 original, and you'll have 1 copy in your file. So if you have to refer to one and take one with you, you can take the copy out. Can make more copies, and, you know, if people had to have them for some reason, or you had to show some to someone or something, you got copies.
Right. Okay, great. Well, I appreciate you going over that. I think that might help a lot of people realize how simple it is.
Yeah, it doesn't take anything great, and you only need, look it, if only 2 other people by you but and yourself show up, that's all you need. 3 people, because you need 3 witnesses. Now, ultimately, if only 2 people show up, you can do it with 2 witnesses. Again, we're trying to do everything biblically. We're trying to do everything according to common law, by 3 witnesses. And actually, the Bible says by 2 or 3. We want to do 3. But if you end up with 2, that's fine. You and someone else, that's fine. But the bottom line is the process took place, the vote took place, the reinstatement took place, and it's sworn to. That's the key to this whole thing. And, even if people come and they voted it down and you voted it in, you can get 2 witnesses that this took place. You're not going to say that it was an overwhelming majority, obviously, but that will never happen. But the bottom line...
Yeah, we had 12 people tonight. It was unanimous.
Yeah. So, you know, we have government not by majority, but my majority who participate, you know?
There you go.
So it's that simple.
Okay, well, thanks, John. You have a great evening.
All right, thank you. You too. Let's take our next caller. Let's see. We have a New Jersey... No, is that New Jersey? Yeah, 201. That's New Jersey, 471. Hang on a second. I'm trying to hang up the other phone. Okay, 471 New Jersey. It looks up. Oh, wrong one. Nope, I got the right one. 201, 471. Looks like New Jersey. You got the mic. Hello, 201, 471. You there? New Jersey, I think, 201. Hello? All right, I guess they're gone. They're probably away from their phone. All right, let me put them back on hold. You know what? I'll leave them open. If they come back, they'll be there. Let me go to 417-315. 417-315, you got the mic. Go right ahead. 417-315.
Hi, John.
Yep.
Hi, John.
Who's this?
This is Jim down in Missouri, and I really didn't have my hand up.
Oh,
I'm doing okay.
All right, well, if you got a question, you got the mic, if you got anything.
No, I think that we're we're in a, my mindset is that in all of the states, we're going to have to go to the rural communities first, where people know each other, and you can get a foothold.
Well, that is one strategy if you wanted to go that route. But here in New York, we took the different approach. We went to the most populated counties. But we started off in our own counties, which is a little north of the city, but they're populated. You know, it's not we got a couple of big cities in some of our counties here. And we went straight down to New York City, and we got the boroughs down in New York City. We got Long Island, so we got all the high-populated areas. Then we worked our way upstate. We got the Rockland County and Westchester County, which is in Orange County, which is just above New York City, and then Dutchess County and Greene County and Columbia County and so on. So we kind of went to the populous areas. It was as easy to get people there as it was anywhere else. Again, only a handful of people usually get involved. You can pull people out of the tea parties. They're all over the place. So you can find them in the tea parties. If you get their attention, get them to our front page, get them to see the video. And they've been looking for something. Most people respond to that front page in the video. And then they're usually sold from that point. That's it. So that's all you got to do is get someone interested down there in the tea parties. But yeah, wouldn't worry too much.
I was just speaking from experience. I know that in the area where I'm located, where I think third largest city in the state, and it's corrupt as can be. And I just don't know that that we can put a dent in it without a lot of outside influence.
Yeah, don't worry too much about that. There's more corruption in the places that are more highly populated, but that's just because there's more people. There's as much corruption per capita in your area as it is in any other area, generally speaking, anyway. Believe me, your courts are just as corrupt as their courts. Their judges are just corrupt as your judges. They just happen to have bigger deals going on down there. So I wouldn't worry too much about that. Again, you know, we decided to do the 16, 17 counties south of Albany first because, you know, we have two-thirds of the population of New York is in those counties. And we pulled all of New York City. And we didn't have any problem in New York City. We pulled them. I mean, we didn't have them coming in by the numbers, but we found people who were interested, and we went out and we constituted grand juries.
Now, how did you find those people?
Well, you know, I've been, I have found all the people we deal with, we found them through either meetup groups, through the email, different meetup groups, a lot of the tea parties. Now, bear in mind, we had networked New York. We've been networking New York for 4 years, though. So we already had somewhat of a core group of people. We do have people in every county of New York, save 8 or 9. We have pretty much 50 counties, 54 counties we have people in right now. Now, it's sad to say that we haven't really done any elections in the past couple of months. I kind of been lost in different things, trying to, you know, drum up money to keep going and get this website going and building the website. And I've been sick, and my wife's been sick, and there's just been a lot of things. And Gerard's been busy. We both have money problems, and you know, it's a struggle. So we haven't, and we took off for a week to try to get some money from the groups of people down in Florida, and so we've been real busy. And we just haven't been paying attention to New York. It's time now we're going to pay some more attention to New York. We got to get the rest of our counties done up here. And I know we could do it quickly, you know. So
we've
got to get it done.
I'm kind of curious. Are you getting...
Hold on 1 second. Gerard, can you hear me? If you can hear me, give me a Y in your Skype. All right, go ahead. I'm listening. I'll take care of him on Skype.
No, I was just kind of curious as to are you getting blowback from your efforts?
We have no problems. They tried to. They tried to get us from, they called the Homeland Security on us. Homeland Security sent the FBI out. The FBI came out and found no cause. We've been investigated in various counties by the FBI three occasions. And there's been other visits from other alphabets, but they've all walked away, left us alone. They didn't threaten us. They didn't intimidate us. We were very straight and forward with them and honest. Okay, hang on 1 minute. If you're on, for some reason I can't see the top of my box. Hold on 1 second. I want to talk to Gerard here. He's trying to get back in. The PIN number is in the dashboard. Look in the dashboard. Look on the top, and you'll see the PIN number right there. Any information you need. And there's also the 866 number you need to call in on. You'll see that there, too. All right, I'm sorry. I'm back to you. What was that? Where were we?
How would you interpret their demeanor? I mean, how did you feel like they looked at you?
Well, they came out in an investigative mode. Look, I'll tell you what. First of all, if they send anyone out after you, it's going to be the FBI. Okay? That's the only legal, really, alphabet soup they can really send out. I mean, the Treasury Department may come out, but that's only if they can get an IRS thing on you. But other than that, it'll be FBI. And, excuse me, we have found that the FBI has been reasonably friendly and understanding. I think they get it. I think they really get it. You know, the very first thing they start off with is this sovereign stuff. Hang on a second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Gerard, I can't get to that pin. There's something blocking me, and I'm afraid if I click the box, I may lose everything here, so there's nothing I could do. You should be able to get into the dashboard, and all that information is there. So, but anyway, we have found that they've been reasonably friendly, okay? They seem to get it. I really think they're on our side. Look, back in the 80s is when the FBI got their deadly blow. They've been trying to destroy the FBI for a long time because the FBI kind of got it. They were closer to the people. I think they were reasonably friendly to the people. They got it. And they knew what was going on in the government, and they were fighting that. And they finally lost the battle. I think it was in the 80s or the early 90s. And then finally when Bush came in and they got this Homeland Security thing, that totally destroyed them at that point. Now, they're still there. But I think a lot of the old-timers are still on our side, and if they get a hold of the younger guys, hopefully they bring them. But we've gotten guys, most of them are younger, and they seem to get it. They have not given us a hard time. They do start with the sovereign stuff, and I go straight to the paperwork and say, show me. What are you talking about? Oh, you see right here. I say, well, who wrote that? Oh, you did. Oh, well, hold on. Wasn't I quoting somebody? Who is that, Scalia? Who is that? This is the U.S. Supreme Court. That's not my words. I'm just quoting them. They get it. They get it. So that's been our experience.
Well, I have heard that the FBI has not been treated well by Homeland Security or the
TSA. No, they're not. The FBI tried to take them down in Kennedy's day. They knew what was happening way back then, and they were working ever since, but they lost the war, so to speak. And I'm telling you, that's why I say it often, only the people can save America. Ron Paul can't save America. I mean, it would be great to get him into office to become the president and to get him at the helm, but he can't save America on his own. He can't do it. You know, he can go out on lead poison too, you know. And it doesn't matter who you put in the courts. You know, they've taken up the whole court system. They've taken up the political system. Doesn't matter who you put in office. It doesn't matter who you put with a badge in the sheriff's office. It doesn't matter. They're not going to save America. Only,
you know, John, the thing that really just totally shocks me is, you know, when we sit here and we put these labels with Homeland Security, TSA, FBI, these are our neighbors. I mean, these are people that we live among. And what are they doing? I mean, I don't get it. I mean, what do they think they're doing? Do they really think that they're doing something good? Or are they just doing it for a paycheck?
Well, they're useful idiots. They've been controlled. Lawyers are true believers. I want to tell you something. These lawyers and these judges truly believe that statutes are law. They truly believe that common law has been done away with. They truly believe that common law grand juries are on the wayside. They're no more. They can't be no more. They're done. They truly believe that stuff. When we bring our paperwork to them, they're perplexed. When we argue our cases, they are perplexed. They don't know whether to go right or left. They really don't know, because it's like coming to them and they've looked up at the sky and the sky has been blue, and all of a sudden the fact of the matter is it's black, or whatever color you want to pick. In other words, let's say they see it as red, okay? But the fact of the matter, it's blue, and you show them it's blue and they see it for the first time, they can't believe it. It's like trying to tell people about the fiction and they think you're crazy. Well, lawyers think we're crazy. There's no difference here. It's the same thing. They have been totally brainwashed. Look, they get our kids. They get them at age 3. You know, you go back into the 70s, they started the preschools. You know, they got the school before the school. You got your kid in school at age 3. They don't go to kindergarten until they're 5 or 6, but they start at 3. And you got all these, they got your kid all day long, and you're lucky to get an hour or two with them in the evening. Okay, they give them so much homework that they got other things to be done, and they want to go play, and they get them into all that crap, and you just don't have time with your children. So they got them for the first, until they're 18 years old, they got them for the first 16, 17 years. Okay, then they put them in college, so they've already primed these kids. They primed their minds. They've developed the morals that they want them to have, and they've been degrading as years go by, worse and worse. And then they get them into college, and then they sink the real junk into them. You know, my brother went to law school, and he said they only mentioned it occasionally, the Constitution. They never studied the Constitution. They were taught in law school, he said that they were taught that don't go to the Constitution. We have plenty of statutes. We can use statutes to make our case. That's what they're taught, okay? He was taught that the grand juries really are not good, that they should be replaced by a panel of professional judges. All should be lawyers, so they're practiced in law, in statutes. You see, this is what they're teaching them. These people believe. Now, they spend all this money to go to law school, and they come out, and you go and tell them that that's not the way it is. Who the hell are you, they say to themselves. I put my time in. I went to school. Then they never teach them how to write a case. They don't know. When they come out of law school, they don't know how to write a case. They don't know how to process and the procedure. And they may know a little bit about writing, but they know the process and the procedures, really. That's another secret to be learned. They got to go work for another lawyer so that they get someone with their arm around them to teach them the ropes, to show them how to be a good criminal and how to really work the money, you know? And before they can do their own thing, they're a couple of years or whatever.
Yeah, and if you would bring up the notion of, I'm going to file a writ of mandamus, and they'd go, what? What's that? Because they don't know.
Right.
They don't know anything. They know statutes.
Well, that's it. They don't know what law is. They have no clue whatsoever. Excuse me.
I was dealing with a case of my own, and I brought up fraud and the fact that there's no time limit on fraud, and the judge didn't know what the hell I was talking about.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, really? I'm like, well, how about this state Supreme Court issue right here? It says it right here.
Yeah, well, you know, look, they're not going to,
they don't know nothing.
Yeah, it's really strange.
In fact, the bailiff laughed when I called the judge on the carpet. The bailiff laughed because he knew that the judge didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, it's really strange. These people, they don't know anything about law. And remember, okay? They've had these people for 30 years of their life. They get them at age 3. They take them through the whole school. They go through their grammar school, their high school. Then they get into college, and then they practice law. I mean, it's 30, and then they have to go work for another lawyer before they actually can go out on their own, because they don't have to learn how the procedure and process works. And so now you're 30 years, they've had these people, and they perceive the world in the way that they've been taught, and that's it. Now you tell them that the sky's blue, and they think you're crazy. They can't get it.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, it's
exactly.
Getting late here, and I got two other callers. Anything else?
Go ahead, John. Hey, I appreciate your effort.
All right. I got three more callers, so let me go to the next caller. 248-393, I'm going to unmute you. Go right ahead.
Hey, John. Don Levine, Oakland County Coordinator again, Michigan.
How you doing?
I just was looking over at the website. Went to the Michigan County Coordinator's page. All the phone numbers and names are gone. They're not listed. It also says 0 counties constituted, but we have 3. And so
we're working on all that. We'll have that fixed in the next few days. You know, I wanted to get it launched on Monday if it was possible. I think that was like the final thing that we have to brush up on, you know, which is the state and the county coordinator pages. And, you know, so we're working on it.
Okay. And then just if the woman from earlier in the 616 area code is still on the line here, she's from Grand Rapids. To my knowledge, they don't have an election up there yet, and I would like to put her in contact with myself. She could call you, and you could give her my number when you get the numbers up on the web page there for Oakland County Coordinator. My name's Don Levine. I'd like to speak to her and help her get her elections going up there in Grand Rapids.
All right. Well, they should be up in the next few days, and right after the holiday, you know, after New Year's, which is only a day or two away, you know, she'll be able to call you. She'll have the number. Okay?
All right. Then if listening to, if she would go ahead and get her name and number up there, I'd be able to contact her as well.
All right.
Thanks,
hopefully
John.
She's still on and she hears you. Okay. All right. Let me go to the next caller. Let's see. We got two more callers left. 256-541. You got the mic. Go right ahead.
Hey, I think that you're talking to me, Stan Howard in Alabama.
Yep, Stan, go right ahead.
Hey, I'm having a terrible time getting in on the new website. I can't log in. I've gone to the page that says National Liberty Alliance with the new login, and I click on the blue part, which is to take you to the site, and from that point on, I am not able to reset the password, and I'm wondering what I'm doing.
Well, there's no reset. Well, what you got to do, everyone that was registered on the old site should have gotten an email by now. Email should have gone out, and if not, you'll get them soon, I guess, but you when you get the email, you click on that, and you'll be able to go right in and create a username and password. Now, you may be thinking of your username and password from the meetup group. That's a different thing altogether. This is the website. Our original website didn't have a username and password.
Yeah, I was using the Stan at Alabama Limestone.
One of the problems we did have is we had about 100 people that used duplicate emails that belonged, I guess, to their spouses, maybe used it too, and this system rejects. You can only one person per email. So that might have been a problem, and that could be a problem with some people. And if they can't get through, then just go and create a new account. And if that name already exists, then, you know, because when you put your name in there and your phone number, it's going to say, hey, that already exists. Then you know you're in there, and then you'll have to call me, and I'll have to special help you maybe during the day or something tomorrow. But generally speaking, anyone can go to the website, click on login, put in their email, and then click send me my PIN number, you know, my password, and you'll be emailed a password. And actually what they'll do is they'll email you a link, and you click the link, and you go right to the site, and then you put in, you create your new username and password.
Okay, well, evidently I'm at that reset password part, and I haven't been able to get it to work, so I might just give you a phone call and see if I can have you help me a little bit more direct. In the meantime,
you got my number, right? Just give me a call tomorrow during the day sometime.
Yeah. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you and what you guys are doing. I'm down here in Limestone County. We've got a grand jury started. However, we still haven't gotten into the court ourselves yet.
Right.
I'm working with Don Boxley for the state of Alabama. So,
well, believe me, but soon they're going to realize they're going to become overwhelmed. In New York, I think they're already becoming overwhelmed. And, you know, we've got a lot of grand juries, but we need a lot more. We're going to get them all, and they're going to really be overwhelmed. They know we're coming, and they know they can't stop us. It's a matter of time, and we will keep going until we get it. We will get in there, and we will take this country back. Only the people can save America.
Well, that's why I'm thanking you again and again and again. I can't believe what we're actually accomplishing.
Well, we are doing good. I'll tell you, people are responding great to this. We're growing in leaps and bounds. We're developing across the nation. We're moving like wildfire, and it's too late to put the genie back in the box.
Yeah. Thank you. I don't want to take up any more of your precious time. You only have 9 minutes left.
Yeah, let me get the last person on the call. Thank you.
You bet. Good night.
Right. Good night. Okay, we have one more caller. 865-292.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Have you been watching the chat room? Because I was trying to get your attention when that lady was talking about that land issue.
It really takes at least two people, maybe three people, to run this thing, and I'm totally on my own. I didn't even think I was going to make it through tonight. So.
Yeah, I used to run a Blog Talk radio show for a good while. I know how to run it.
Yeah, I just couldn't get through this tonight. Gerard somehow is locked out. I don't know what's happening with him. He's sending me some messages, but I can't even deal with him. I tried to get to it. But anyway, we're at the end of the program. But... next week we'll have two people back working with us again, and we'll be able to take control, you know?
Well, if you want, I can help out with it. Like I said, I've done Blog Talk Radio before. But, no, this
All right.
Something I really need to – this is something I was hoping you'd catch on me earlier.
All right, give me a call. Give me a call during
the
week, you know. Give me a call in the afternoon or something tomorrow or whenever you can, and let's talk.
Okay, well, just for the recording, it's called A Quiet Title and A Land Patient. It basically takes, you know, when you register a property, and this is how the government keeps you on property tax.
What I'm going to do, hold on one minute. I'm going to do is I'm going to open, there's two more callers all of a sudden came in. I'm going to open all three lines. So try to keep it short because we only got about 7 minutes, but I do want to give other people the opportunity so they'll be able to maybe pipe in on a few things here and there. But go ahead. Keep it short. If it's something that's going to be long, we'll talk about it next week. But go ahead.
Well, this is something I've been waiting to tell you for like the past 2.5 hours, but you skipped over me, kept getting other people I've already talked. This lady needs to know about a quiet title. It will stop property taxes and make her the legal owner under the Constitution. It basically stops all foreclosure, any property tax rights that the government will have. It's under the Quiet Title Act.
I'm familiar with this. Do you have a paper on this, or can you write a paper?
Well, I think I've sent the links to you. But the other thing you need is called land patient process. That is the big one. That one stops the property taxes. It legally stops it. And it gains status of land owner, and the elector empowered under the Constitution. So this basically makes you the sole provider or owner of the property, both tangible and intangible, and makes you the hereditary owner of the land. So
why don't we pick this subject back up? Why don't we talk tomorrow or in the next few days about the Blog Talk thing, and we'll talk about the property thing, and maybe we could put some PDFs together and get them up on site, and then you could bring the subject up next week.
Yeah, I was actually going to talk to you tomorrow anyways. I'm the coordinator for Tennessee, so I was going to call you anyways.
Yeah, give me a call. Let's get in. Let me see who else is on the call. We only got about 6 minutes,
right,
but we have two other people.
Yeah, I got to drop out.
Okay. We got 5703. Let me see. 570. Who do we have in here? I get lost here. 570309, and we got 407391. You've both been unmuted.
Oh, about the lady that talked about the whether subject matter can be challenged. Yeah, any jurisdiction can be challenged in the middle of the case. And that's to talk about a Title 28, Section 1292, and it's called interlocutory appeal. If the judge actually denied the motion, then you could actually file an appeal and challenge it on the appeal court, and you could always go to Supreme Court.
Right, and let me add on to that. Every court in America, let me say that one more time, every court in America can be challenged, jurisdiction. They're all illegal. Supreme courts are operating illegally. They're operating in equity. They're operating under admiralty. They're operating under corporatism. They're operating under statutes. Every single court can be challenged, and you could win if you know what you're doing and you put the flesh of that judge on the line in your case. It's an uphill battle.
Yeah, actually, the party never had a claim because they never swear. And even they swear and notarize it, they never support the material facts under oath. So you have to study whether they did that or not, and then you come in and smash the case and dismiss it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is, you can challenge all of it. You know, look, if the whole thing is illegal, if it doesn't have a jury in it, a real jury, not a puppet jury, a real jury, and you weren't brought in by a grand jury, or you didn't bring the complaint yourself as a plaintiff, then and under common law, then they have no jurisdiction, and none of them are operating legally. They're all fraud, and you can beat them all. But, you know, you have to know what you're doing, and you have to – and it doesn't take much. I haven't been at this that long that I'm so bright. You know, it isn't that difficult. You just got to read this stuff and immerse yourself in it for a while, and you'll come out absorbing a heck of a lot of it. Anything else? We've got a couple more minutes. Got three more minutes, I think.
I'd like to say something.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Yeah, this is John in Seminole County, Florida. I'm a county
How you doing,
coordinator
John?
Here.
Yep.
Good, good. In the sample indictment that you have on your website, USA versus Raul Iglesias, it quotes 18 U.S.C. 241 and 18 U.S.C. 243. Yet Cornell
let me go
University
take a look. Where
Law
is
School,
this at? Where is this at?
It's under on, the sample
jurist?
Documents or something. Yeah.
Okay, let me go to the jurist documents.
Site.
Yeah, it's probably the jurist documents. Let me open it up before
it's
we talk
indictment.
About it.
It's a sample indictment.
Okay, I'm looking for it now. Sample. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, it's quoting those two statutes, yet Cornell University Law School online says that 18 U.S.C. 241 through 246 were repealed June 27, 1952, CH 477 Title 4. And yet we're still using those statutes?
Yeah, I'll have to look into it. I'm looking at the sample that I have, and it's just a plain sample, so I'll have to know exactly what it is that you're looking at. Maybe if you can call in on this next week, and if you want to talk about
it
before that, you give me a call. Well, give me a call. We'll talk about it. We're about to end the program right now, so we're going to shut down.
Yeah.
In 60 seconds, we're going to be shut down, and I don't have no control
right.
over that. But, yeah, I'll look into that. I'm not sure. What are the code numbers you had?
241 through 246, but
okay.
on the indictment is 241 and 242.
All right, so that's just probably a typographical error. I'll look into that.
I don't know, because I read the statutes, and they definitely apply to what we're trying to do. It's trying to make the clerk file the papers. It
right.
definitely applies to that. And
I will look into
repealed.
It, and I'll try to correct it before, because we're doing the mandamus, and we're going to be referring to that. But with that, we're going to have to end, because we're just about ready to go off
okay.
the air. So I'd like to thank everybody for showing up this evening, and Lord willing, we'll be back next Monday. Hopefully everybody will come back again and bring others. and let's save America, because only you can do it. If you don't want to do it, then it's not going to get done. Thanks for coming. Good night.